This is episode number 28 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of June 2nd, 2008. It's time for me to coming up in this week's episode, we've got our weekly distractions, gaming news, our feature on the Phantasy Star series, a nearly forgotten new release list, listener email, and the rather lengthy question of the week. I should also mention that this is our longest show ever. We fired Jeff once again and have a very special guest filling issues. Don't worry, he's not Canadian. And for the entire second half of the episode, Chris has been replaced by the evil android Roboshino. Tune in. Or die.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 28.
Is it 28? I thought it was 27.
Unless you don't want to count last week, which may or may not be a good idea.
Did we record last week? That just never happened. I'm sorry.
I am Chris Riccio, and you are listening to Jason A. Stryker as well.
That's me.
And this week, we have a kind of special show. Jeff is not with us, but we do have Mark Singer from Yay. PS Nation. Mark, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
Doing well. What's going on, man?
Oh, not a whole lot. Man, is it nice to not have to talk about PlayStation for once. No one makes me do it.
Does he whip you?
He does. With the whip he uses on Chuck's mom.
Oh. Oh. That thing's got to be frayed and just nasty. Damn.
Zing. Less than 60 seconds into the show, Chuck's mom jokes?
Yeah.
One. Perfect.
Well, what the hell happened to Jeff, though?
You kicked Jeff off the show last week, man.
Oh, did I fire him again?
Yes.
Well, I didn't really mean it.
He's over. Shit. We're talking with Glenn right now, man. I don't know.
He's trying to kiss up to Glenn to try and get on that show.
It seems that way.
Yeah.
I see how it is.
He wants some of that theoretical podcast money.
the podcast monopoly money?
That's right.
All right, cool. Well, Mark, why don't you tell everybody where you're coming from?
I come from the PS Nation, your source for PlayStation news and the official podcast of the PS Fanboy Network.
That sounds very corporate and official.
Oh, yeah. It is official. It is run by the magnificent Glenn Percival.
Oh, magnificent. You're making his ego inflate. Oh, not that that's hard.
I think I can get much bigger. Oh. Yes. We are on episode, damn, I don't even remember, 60-something now? Something I didn't like join that. Till the 50s. It was started by Glenn Percival and Jared Johnston way back when, and I joined in later, and then Jared left to pursue his acting career, and now we're teamed up with PS3Fanboy.com, and we usually get one of their guys on every week rotating in and out, so yeah, that's where you can find me.
Neat.
Very cool. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show this week, and look forward to what you have to say.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Slumming it with the indies.
Well, Jason, how are you, man?
I'm pretty good, sir. I'm missing Jeff already. No, I'm not.
Hey, I'm a quite suitable replacement.
This is not. You're not wearing flannel, are you?
No, I'm wearing fleece.
Okay, all right. Well, good.
Well, there's one huge positive to having Mark on the show. Mm-hmm. No Canadians.
That I'm awesome.
We're just hanging with our homies. We're not trying to do the Canadian outreach program anymore.
I could talk about hockey and igloos or something, but
can you say a boot?
No. I'm not good with accents.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Apparently I'm not either. Cool. Yeah, I'm about the same. Not much going on this end. Work is busy. Work is very busy because we've got all kinds of stuff crapping out on us and we're trying to get it fixed, but besides that, same old stuff. But so we got quite a show planned today, so let's jump right into it. And we'll start with Mark, what's distracting you this week?
Mostly unpacking, as I've been bitching about on my show forever.
I love that game.
Yeah, isn't it great?
And is that for the Wii? Do you have to like use the Wiimote to
No, it's with the balance board. So notice how much you're picking up.
Nice.
Yeah, a little unpacking with a healthy dose of fixing my broke-ass computers.
Ooh.
Even more fun. Yeah, with a bonus round and network problems. So it's been fun, let me tell you. It reinstalled Windows 5 times in the last month or so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and my Mac is dead. So
you're having all kinds of computer problems.
What's that?
I said you're having all kinds of problems.
Oh, yeah. It's not fun. And I've been throwing little tantrums about it. Video game-wise, though, I managed to squeak in a little bit. Been playing more R-Type Command on PSP.
Nice.
Ooh, how is that?
Yeah, I like it. I really do. I'm going to do a full review of it next week's PS Nation. And if I get off my lazy ass, I'm actually going to write up a review for VG Evo, too.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It's good. It's a typical turn-based... Well, I can't say it's typical turn-based strategy, but it doesn't do a whole lot to innovate, I guess. But if you're an R-Type fan and you like turn-based strategy, I think you'd like it a lot. If you like turn-based strategy, it's definitely worth a shot. And if you're not a fan of either, obviously avoid it like the plague. Because it is pretty slow for a turn-based strategy game. But to me, there's enough little things you can do and tactics with your ships and all their different abilities that it's fun. So, yeah, thumbs up.
Very cool.
What else? A little more Marvel Ultimate Alliance on PSP.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah, I have the 360 version. I had bought the special edition that had the packed in downloadable characters.
Like the gold edition or whatever. I got that one too.
Yeah, but then I never played it because I bought it thinking like, oh, my wife likes beat 'em up kind of games and she might like this. She didn't care for it.
Oh.
Nobody was ever online to play it, and then I let my live gold run out on Xbox, so now it's just sitting there, and then
did
I started writing
about
the
PS.
Yeah, he did.
He's like, don't renew.
He has control of my live my live ID. Well, I read about the PSP version, and it sounded really good, so I, on a whim, just picked it up used at GameStop, and they did a fantastic job with it. The stuff gets a little small sometimes, but for the most part, it's just as good as the PS3 or 360 versions.
I agree. I played the Marvel Legends 2 as well, and it's very similar to that. It's kind of the successor to it. And they did a great job with the PSP ones.
Cool. Yeah, I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all I've been playing on PSP. Then my DS has been getting more Sheeran the Wanderer action.
Ah, yes.
And I recommend that game to everyone, even though it's not a game everybody will like. Sadly.
It's like, I know you're going to really hate this, but you got to play it.
You should play it anyway.
Yeah, it's so unique and so good. I really, well, partially want it to do really well because Sega's publishing the Wii sequel in Japan, which comes out really soon.
Awesome.
And there's just been a bunch of trailers released for it. It looks fantastic. Mm. I really, really want them to bring that over here because it would probably be way too hard to play in Japanese.
Mm. Yeah.
And finally, oh yeah, speaking of the Wii, I broke my half-assed WiiWare boycott and I downloaded Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, My Life as a King.
Oh.
Tell me.
Tell us about it.
It's good. I've read so many threads on different forums basically saying it's nerd crack, that it gets really addictive, it's not very deep, but it's kind of fun, and I totally agree. I've been in the mood for a Sim-style game since Spore is coming out, who knows when.
Yeah, really.
And I don't even know if I'm going to bother to get that right away, just because I've got such a huge backlog of games, I don't want another big time-consuming one.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the first Crystal Chronicles on GameCube, so you know I was sort of invested in the world, I guess. But it's basically a Sim-style game. You're this little weird Japanese anime-looking kid who's the king of this empty castle, and it's you're charged to refill it with this magical crystal that like warps in all the old townsfolk who had disappeared. And you build their houses. You can hire them as adventurers and then send these adventurers out to dungeons to get more like elements and stuff you need to build things. But then, obviously, the dungeons get harder and harder, so you start building things like weapon shops and item shops, and there's bakeries to keep the townspeople happy and a park so they can relax. So it's basically just a little management thing, and you never actually see your adventurers like in the dungeons, but you'll get a report the next day, and it's really detailed. I actually go into every single enemy they fought and give you, like, so-and-so did 2 damage to the bat did 3 damage to so-and-so. It's kind of crazy. And then you award medals to the adventurers who do a good job.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's fun. And you, while you're up during the day in the town, you run around, talk to all the townsfolk, build the town morale. Then you can use the morale to expand the town more. It's just a cool game. I think it's slightly overpriced. Like $15 for the core game, I think is probably fine. Because I've heard people say it's like 10 to 15-ish hours, depending how much you dawdle, to beat it the first time. And then you actually unlock New Game Plus options, and you can play it on hard or very hard. And a bunch of new dungeons and things pop up that weren't there in the first playthrough. But now this is the one WiiWare game that's got all the downloadable content, too. And it's not very cheap. Mm-hmm. There's like a race pack to introduce the three extra races from Crystal Chronicles, and that, I think, was $8 or $9. No, it was $8, because that's $9 if you buy them all individually. And there's some dungeon packs and extra costumes and things. And I think if you add it all up together, it's almost $40 for everything.
Jeez. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I'm a downloadable content whore. Like, if it's there, I want to own it just because I feel like I need to have the complete version of the game.
Yeah.
I'm trying to break myself of this habit, but I have bought a couple of the things, which is stupid just because I'm nowhere in the game yet. So there's no need for them, but I'm trying to hold off on the rest of it until I actually play through it once. And considering my backlog and my attention span, that's probably unlikely anyway.
Well, David, yeah, you're actually making it sound cool.
Yeah, I think it's really cool. If you're into sim-style games, mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, a spreadsheet management kind of game that without the depth of like a PC kind of sim game.
Really?
But I like it. What else have I been playing? Oh, Trickmantarian and Saber Girl were over visiting us for the weekend.
Oh, cool.
And they brought up Boomblox.
Oh.
Yeah, as soon as they left, we actually ran out and bought our own copy.
Is it that good?
It really is. Imagine basically it's Jenga. You have a virtual baseball that you throw at shit and knock it down.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, there's like special blocks that'll explode, or chemical reaction ones when they touch, they'll explode. There's ones that'll disappear. So many different multiplayer modes. It's crazy. There's actual Jenga modes where you pull the blocks out. Ones where you have to build up combos. There's even kind of a lame shooting gallery one where you actually just point the Wiimote and shoot. That one, it was all right. But so many weird different little things. I mean, it's at least worth a rental if you're not going to buy it. And I've seen people complaining about the $50 price tag, but I'm like, I've paid $50 for far
less of
games.
A game, yeah.
Oh, true.
And, you know, it's a little cutesy and whatever, but so what? Single player just unlocks extra pieces and the build your own level part of it. So whatever. I highly recommend that one.
Yeah, I do too. I was initially turned off by the cutesiness, but after playing it, you know, because I initially got it for my wife and just to see if she'd like the cutesiness, but no, I'm the one that plays it.
Yeah, me too.
It's that good.
Well, she likes it too, but I think it's a better more than two people multiplayer game than just two people.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, we've done some of the modes and it seems too easy to get screwed, like especially if you're doing the Jenga kind of mode where you're picking pieces out and it's just going back and forth and back and forth.
I suppose.
But
I don't have that many friends.
I don't have that many Wiimotes, so we kind of get stuck playing two players. Did I play anything on PS3? I don't think I did this week.
I guess it's good that you're on our show this week then, huh?
Yeah, it is. Screw PS3. Well, I haven't even unpacked my 360 yet.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, well, I have played the one game we're going to be talking about on PS2 a little bit, but I'll save that for later.
It's a secret.
Not really, yeah. That's it for me.
Cool. Jason, take it away, man.
Will do. PS3, I got a little Warhawk action in. The traditional Warhawk Wednesday, which I can't say it was as successful as it was last week, because we had some hardcore players in there, man. That was like, I was bitching up a storm. I was crying. There were tears. I actually logged out of the game and went outside, and I'm like, fuck this. I'm not playing this game no more. I'm done. Warhawk Wednesday, it's canceled. I'm like, what can we switch to?
Well, did more people show up after I left at 11?
Yeah, actually, well, I don't know if more. Yeah, a couple people. I think Five Spot finally showed up at the end, and
yeah,
we had some good
Five
games
Spot,
after some of the higher scoring ones, like Mr. DeBucket,
and
the teams were just lopsided all the time, and it was just no fun. So once they finally had their fill of handing our asses to us, you know, they left, and then things settled down. Then it was fun again, but not bad. all in all. I had to have a couple drinks to get through it, but.
Yeah, I'm actually to the point, Jason, I don't know if you saw my post on VG Evo, but I feel like I've plateaued and I'm not sure what to do to get better at this game anymore. And it's frustrating, not because I get shot down, because I don't care if I get shot down. It's part of the game, right? But I get frustrated because I don't feel like I'm getting any better anymore. I feel like I'm at a point where I'm not, you know, I'm fodder because everyone is passing me by as far as skill goes. And, you know, I'm just not sure what to do. So
Well, the thing is that we only play once a week, you know, we only play for like an hour, 2 hours or something like that. So it's tough for us to keep sharp, as it were, you know, maybe if we played in some ranked games or something, I don't know.
That really is a way to start getting a little better because that's where all the really good players are. So if you don't get better fast, you're screwed. But if you look at my stats, I've only played in like 2 hours worth of ranked games because I always play in unranked.
The only time I've ever played is, I played on the Warhawk Wednesdays, and then I've played like two other games besides that, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all that we ever really wanted to do is just kind of play casually anyway. So.
Yeah. I hope I can get back to it next week. I've just been too busy for it.
Get on it, Mark.
I will. I'll make my wife unpack while I play video games.
Yeah, I'm sure
Moving along with the PS3. All the Haze talk that we've been doing recently, I finally went out and I rented the game. And I'm like, I'm going to give this an honest-to-goodness shot. And I don't want to say too much yet until I'm done, but I'm about probably 3 or 4 hours in. My initial impressions really haven't changed too much.
Have you switched sides yet?
Yeah, I have switched sides. And okay, it's
that's like the halfway point, I think.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know.
See, I thought it was the beginning.
Yeah, it's kind of towards the beginning, I guess.
Is it? Okay.
I think after like the first, like, I can't, because they don't really break it up into stages or anything like that, but I can tell. So it's tough to really gauge where exactly it's at. You know, when I played the demo, I absolutely hated it. I hated the dialogue. I hated the really cheesy, you know, the sayings that they'd have, you know, it's like, booyah, let's go get some chow and shit. And I thought that's how the game was going to be. As it turns out, it's kind of the satire, as it were. And it's an over-the-top kind of satire. So after that first, like, level before the switch, you're ready to kill these guys. You're just done with it. So luckily I'm past that stage and I get to kill them, which is great. But I'm still not enjoying the game all that much more because of it. But we got to get some multiplayer action going on to see if it's worth the purchase price.
Yeah, I'll rent it next week and we'll give it a shot.
Do it. We might have a hard time convincing Jeff though. I mean, he said that he'd rent it, but
he'll rent it. If he'll do it.
So do you want to get Nabo in on the multiplayer action?
That would be hilarious.
Come on.
No.
I'll record it.
Well, did you see Torgo's got his final review of Haze up?
Yeah, he wasn't very nice to it.
No, like in the podcast last week, he was somewhat favorable to it. Like, you know, said it was decent, nothing great, fairly average. But in the end, he said it's only worth a rental.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah,
so.
I'm just not loving the game.
I'm not like having fun with it yet. It still feels like it's a chore to just play this. I mean, it's not terrible. Yet.
Yet.
Anyway, let's jump systems to the 360, which has been causing me an awful lot of frustration. Doing the Dark Sector thing, I think I completed one more chapter. But, you know, our talk last week actually kind of inspired me to go out and finally buy Gears of War. I found a collector's edition, brand new, for $35. And I'm like, ooh, let me get that. This is, of course, right before I found out that they're, like, re-releing the game.
Oh, yeah.
$40 or something like that. I was only a little let down. But no, I decided to make an event out of it. You know, I got the gaming chair out and shit, popped the game in, and it froze.
Ooh, wonderful.
Yeah. Right after that, I popped it in again and froze again.
Come on.
Yeah, 10, 30 seconds. I've lasted maybe like a minute before it hard locks. And it never red rings. And actually, the last time I did it, I actually left the 360 on just to see if it was like a overheating issue. But no, it stayed on for a good 3 hours, never red ringed. I don't know. I don't know what the hell to do with it. I'm afraid to call
it past your warranty.
I think I'm past my warranty. And unless it, you know, red rings, then I'm shit out of luck.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the fuck to do.
Sell it and buy another PS3.
Another PS3.
Not that I'm a corporate shill.
But. Right. Am I allowed to make sellout jokes yet? I'm not sure.
No, Glenn's a sellout. I'm just along for the ride.
Oh, okay. He's riding on the coattails. The money trail, huh?
That's right.
All right, so that killed my my love of the 360 this week, so I was done with that. I did play an awful lot of WoW for whatever reason, just because, I don't know. I'm just into that again. You know, since we started playing the Mookows Guild, I've got all kinds of alts on that server and shit, and it's like, oh, I got to take engineering. I got to do leatherworking. And I don't know. I'm just reminded of just how badly addicted I can be to that game. So somebody's going to have to actually have an intervention at some point, I think. This is my cry for help. Right,
I'll
now.
Keep that in mind.
Keep checking on me, okay?
Will do. Will do.
All right. Aside from that, I also busted out the PS2 to play a little bit more of the game that we're going to be doing a feature on a little bit later.
Very
and
cool.
And other than that, that is my week.
Cool.
On to you, Chris.
Okay. Well, PS3, the only thing that I played on PS3 this week was Warhawk. And we kind of talked about that, so I'll just move on. This whole backlog support group thing that we started doing on VG Evo.
Yeah, good.
It kind of inspired me a bit. You know, I was sitting there thinking, what should I play? And I'm looking at my games. I'm like, maybe I should play GTA. Nah, I don't feel like playing GTA. Maybe I should play Blue Dragon. Nah, I don't feel like that. Lost Odyssey. Yeah, I don't feel like it. How about some Castlevania? So I actually busted out Castlevania Layman of Innocence. And I started and completed this game.
Really?
I don't know what it was when I started it the first time, because I did play the game and I got like two or three stages in. But it never really sucked me in like I thought it would. But this time around, and I think it has a lot to do with the fact that I played Devil May Cry already, because this game reminds me a lot of Devil May Cry now after playing Devil May Cry 4. It's that same, you know, it's a lot of the same ideas in the combat system, and you know, in general, it was just a lot of fun to play. So I would come home pretty much every day and I would just play this game, and it just got to the point where I was loving every second of it. Nice. You know, going through all the maps, making sure I got 100%, you know, making sure I got all the keys and all that stuff. So it felt like playing Castlevania in that respect, but I was playing the game like it was Devil May Cry. Nice. And there's awesome. A lot of really cool combos that you can do with the whip too. And it just turns out to be a ton of fun. Let me see. I'm not sure what else I can say about it without saying much about the story, but you know, you go in and it actually takes place before all the other Castlevanias. It's like the start of the Belmont clan. It's the first time that, you know, a Belmont gets a whip, and you know, they talk about where the whip came from, and you know, they give you all that detail, and then you go in and, Leon, the main character, his chick has been kidnapped or whatever, and he's going in to try and save her.
And in
order to save her, of course, you have to open this door, and that door is sealed by like these five spheres, and you have to go through five little, you know, different areas of the world to do. And there's like five stages that you have to complete, five bosses, all that other stuff. And then there's like secret bosses that you can fight to get new whips and that kind of thing. It's a lot of fun. And anyone who likes Castlevania and likes Devil May Cry, I say definitely pick it up and check it out. I bet it's super cheap right now.
Yeah. So. It deserved better than the reviews it got, I think.
Actually, I started looking at it. It got eights most of the way across.
Did it? I thought it got worse than that.
No, it was, I think, Game Rankings had it listed at like 79. So the game actually did get rated rather good. It's just that it was a 3D Castlevania. And what was the last time we saw a 3D Castlevania?
Ouch.
N64.
And
nobody wants to remember those days.
No.
I do. I actually kind of like them.
Did you really? I tried the first one that came out, and I just could not get into it.
I managed to actually get all the way through that one.
Really?
Yeah. And then I got the sequel, which improved a lot on it. It fixed a lot of the problems. It got stuck in the backlog and I never beat it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually still have the first one. I never got my hands on the second one though. So, you know, maybe
eventually. Lament of Innocence, though. That was a good game.
Yeah.
That was another one in my backlog though, cause The only thing I didn't like about it was that the level design I thought was a little boring.
Yeah, and it is.
But, and then I got put to a point where I was backtracking to find hidden items and stuff, like really late in the game, so I'm pretty close to the end. But something shinier came along and I just left it on the shelf.
Right. And I'd always
been really afraid of
there is a lot of backtracking unless you do the levels in a certain order, because in every level you get a key. And that key is it opens a door to a special item in another area. So when you go into the first world, you get like the white wolf key. I forgot what it is, but the door is for the yellow dragon key. So the point that what you need to do is find is I looked at a FAQ and I was like, all right, well, what uses the wolf key? All right, I'm going there next. And I went and I got that key and I was like, all right, so I'm using the, you know, the red dragon key. There's like two dragon keys. So where am I going with that? So I did it that way. And it kind of minimized the backtracking and made it a little easier to go through.
Okay,
cool.
But I did beat that. I was kind of surprised by the ending, and it was satisfying. But right after I finished it, I was like, "All right, time to play Curse of Darkness." So I popped in Curse of Darkness, and they kind of dumbed down the combat. So instead of like in Layman of Innocence, you have a weak attack and a strong attack, and there's combos for each, and you can mix the combos together to, you know, make larger chains. And I've actually gotten up to like 8 or 9 hits on a combo. Curse of Darkness, it's like your combo is based on the weapon, and you have a chain of attacks that you can do, and then a finisher. And the finisher will be different depending on where you are in the chain. So instead of having a weak attack and a strong attack, you have an attack button and a finisher button. So it's kind of weird in that way. So it feels kind of dumbed down. But they added a lot of other stuff that makes it more interesting. Like, they brought back the leveling up system from like Symphony of the Night and those games. There is a crafting system that is actually somewhat similar to PSU in a way.
Oh.
Except before you cringe.
Ouch. Okay, go ahead.
Before you cringe.
Make it quick.
There's no percentage or anything about whether or not it works, and you don't have to wait to actually get your item. You pick up the materials, you say, okay, I can make this now, and you make it, and that's it, and you're done.
That's what it should be. Good.
Exactly, I agree. But, you know, that adds something cool to it, and then you get pets, too. You get, like, these... I forgot what they call them, Devils of Innocence or something like that. And they follow you around and they have different abilities and stuff like that. So right now I have like this little fairy that heals me. And then I have this like huge golem that goes and beats the crap out of everything. It's pretty cool. And that one is actually a little bit more linear. You actually move from stage to stage from what I'm expecting. And I think I'm on stage 3. And then there's a time when you'll be able to go back through it. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm at on that. But that's literally all I've played this week. So, I mean, it's been very Castlevania, and I was like, all right, I want to try and do the 3D ones, and that's what I did.
Well, shit, man, I'm envious. You got backlog stuff knocked out.
Yeah.
High five over the podcast.
Woo!
Good job.
I actually went into the Collecting Dust forum, and I updated my, I posted, and I was like, oh, I can't edit my posts anymore, and, after I did that, Industria comes on and said, by the way, check out your first purse. And he had separated it and put a cross through Layman of Innocence since I beat it. So I was like, oh, hey, cool. Makes me feel awesome. Like I've accomplished something.
Nice.
All right. Well, let's move on to news then.
We can't. We don't have Jeff.
I know.
It's your time.
we'll take a break and be right back. I know. But without Jeff, you know, I was going to say, Mark, you have to do news because that's, you know, the cost of being on this show. But
oh,
I thought that was kind of mean.
Yeah.
So man, I figured we'd do it in
news
this...
on my own show. What the hell?
I'm the guest here, damn it.
Well, I figured we could do it in the spirit of PS Nation because they actually switch off between Mark and Glenn and whoever's on with them. So yeah. I figured we could do something like that. What do you guys think?
We're just trying Sounds to make good. It feel like home, Mark.
Aw, you guys are so nice.
I know.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up.
Can somebody make me a drink?
Look, go get one for myself right now, actually, since you guys are doing news. I'll be back later.
Jason doesn't want to do news. You don't want to comment on news either? Come on.
I'll comment and stuff. I'm here for the color commentary.
All right, fair
I
enough.
I try and make jokes. That's all I'm good for.
Well, let's start out with something I thought was interesting, mainly because it's two words that I never hear together, and those being EA and free.
Whoa.
So Army of Two is coming out with a map pack on May 29th, and it is free.
What?
Yeah.
There's got to be a hitch, though.
It's due out today, actually. So, you know, whoever's listening to this, it should be available right now. I mentioned it was free, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, cool. Well, it's got two new co-op maps, and it's also got one multiplayer map. So three maps. Oh, and it's free.
Oh, I see why it's free. It's actually sponsored by Pontiac.
Oh, that figures.
You thought they were doing it out of the goodness of their own heart.
Oh, you know what it is? It's probably going to have some additional bling that you could put onto your gun that's going to have like a Pontiac logo or something like that.
They're going to come rolling out in the Firebird and shit.
Cool. All right. How about you, Mark? What do you got?
Let's see what's next. GameStop prices Guitar Hero World Tour, a.k.a. Rock Band
Rip-Off,
at $189.99.
Now it's a rip-off to our pockets, too.
It's great.
Wow. Well, I suppose, you know, that's not a hell of a lot more expensive than the Rock Band set, but
still.
What,
$10
more?
$20
it's,
more? I don't know.
It's $20, I think, isn't it? Isn't Rock Band $169?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so it's like, what's extra in Guitar Hero World Tour? It's like, it's still a guitar.
Head.
They totally ripped off the guitar from Rock Band and put extra frets on it.
Right.
And then they made the drum set, and the drum set has cymbals now, so there's like one extra pad.
That's exciting to me.
Yeah, so you pay $20 to get one extra pad on your drums.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Does it still only come with one guitar?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Pretty sure. One guitar, a mic, and the awesome drum set with two cymbals.
You know, I do like the cymbals on the drum set, but still, yeah. I'm not going to upgrade to a fucking game that costs half the price of the system.
Yeah.
Again,
if they make it cross compatible, and I highly doubt that they're not going to, then I'll consider just buying the drum set because I really do. I would love to have the cymbal head. That would be great.
Well, I want to wait until Konami breaks out what they're doing with what is it, Rock Revolution or something like that?
Yeah,
because they're saying that they're going to have the most realistic drum set or something like that. So I want to see what they're going to do with that. But yeah,
it's too much. The market's not going to be able to support all of them.
I was just going to say we're getting a little saturated now. Okay.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, what really sucks is it's going to come down to like the exclusive bands they get now.
Yeah.
And that really sucks because you know there's going to be bands you want to play that end up on one and not the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I will buy whoever gets 311 first. Done.
For real? Right.
He's a huge 311 fan.
I am a very large 311 fan.
Mm.
For whatever reason.
Hey, shut up.
Hey.
Cool. Well, let's see. What else we got? Beyond Good and Evil is getting a sequel. Yep. This was announced at UB Day in Paris. I actually did not play the first one. Did you guys play it?
I'm a bad gaming podcast host. No, I've never played the first one. I've always wanted to.
I played an hour of the first one, and what I played was great. But
and now it's in your backlog again.
Oh, yeah. The Team Fremont Live podcast, they're doing the book club thing on their forums, and that's actually the game for the book club right now.
Oh, shit, cool. They're doing a book club? Damn, I wanted to do one of those, actually. It was that or the backlog. I went with the backlog.
Yeah, it'd be hard to do both.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a lot to ask.
The screens they've released for this thing look fantastic.
Yeah, I saw some of the screens. It does look pretty good. And, the reason I was asking if you guys played the first one is because apparently the first one has like kind of a cliffhanger ending, and they've never really brought a sequel to wrap things up. So
right. This
is something that that people have been looking for a long time, it seems.
Yeah. Well, the rumor was that, what's the guy's name that did this? Ancel? I forgot what his name is. Well,
yeah,
whatever.
I don't know.
He's
Michelle
Ubisoft.
Ancel.
Yeah, something like that. He's Ubisoft's Michael. Golden Boy, and I think this was on like that Surfer Girl Insider Rumor blog that he was really pissed about Rayman Raving Rabbids because that was originally going to be like a real Rayman game, like the 3D platformer, and then they took it and made a party game out of it.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he got all pissed and threatened to walk unless they let him do Beyond Good and Evil 2 because that was his baby, but the first one totally bombed.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So that's awesome. I mean, that's just what the rumor site said. I don't know if there's any truth to it, but hey, it sounds cool.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no release date or platform announced yet, so we'll just have to see what happens.
Bionic Commando Rearm grapples past May. This sucks.
What?
Really looking forward to this. It's now delayed.
Yeah, but it's this is something that they cannot screw up.
Yeah.
Right.
I would much rather I don't care if it doesn't come out until Christmas, as long as they get it right. Mm-hmm. You know? I don't want to see one of the best 8-bit games ever get destroyed.
Exactly. Well, it's kind of like Street Fighter HD as well, since that got, you know, delayed till who knows when, but I'd rather see him get it done right than to rush it out.
Exactly. I'm not like foaming at the mouth as of yet, and I know that I'd be really, really pissed if they did screw it up, so take your time.
Yeah.
Oh, I did pick up the soundtrack, though. They made the soundtrack available for purchase digitally. So I picked that up. That was like $10, and I forget how many tracks, but it's pretty good. There's some of the tracks that are just like awesome.
Nice.
All right. Well, let's see. 2K confirms enhanced PS3 Bioshock again. Yeah. So this is only like the third time we've heard about this, but you know, at least we know it's coming. Mm-hmm. Set for October, and it's apparently supposed to be enhanced over the 360 and the PC version, even though the screen comparisons that they're throwing around right now are pretty much the same.
Hmm. Yeah.
So maybe it depends on how it runs. So maybe it runs better. I don't know.
No, one of the screenshots that they released had like a different Big Daddy in there though, didn't it?
I don't know. I haven't looked at
it. I don't think I saw that one.
What the hell? Am I the only one reading the news here?
Pretty much.
I saw the one with the little sister, and it looked it looked just like the 360 one.
Gotcha. So, well, I don't know. Right.
Yeah, I'll probably end up playing this.
Yeah, I think I will too. Because you know what? I still don't own it on the 360. I don't know what my problem is.
But I haven't played through it. I think I talked about this on PS Nation last week, but I had bought the PC version of Bioshock because I didn't have a 360 when it came out. Mm-hmm. And there was some sort of bug where it would crash consistently after the first level.
Yeah.
And that's what officially killed me on PC gaming. I'm just like, screw this shit, I'm out. It finally started working after I had reinstalled Windows one of the times, but I just haven't gotten around to it. And at this point, even though I've, you know, owned the game on Steam, so I can't even like resell it or anything, I'll probably just wait for the PS3 version now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just going to see in what they do with the PS3 version before I decide which one I'm going to get. Because, they said they're going to be talking about the features that are coming out, you know, from now until the release date. So I'll see what they add. If they release it for $60 and I can go get the 360 one for $40, then I'll probably just go get the 360 one. But, you know, if there's significant content added or something like that, I'll probably just grab the PS3 version. Yeah. Cool. Mark?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. My favorite. More new Street Fighter 4 characters and details. Well, they've confirmed it in a huge, like, you know, big duh, that is coming to PS3 and Xbox 360 as...
Wow, really?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I never would have pegged that.
Dude, I totally told you.
And also the...
Jason wins! Yes.
PS or PC as well, correct?
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's kind of the shocker.
Well,
it is a shocker.
They're developing it on PC, so I wasn't all that surprised. But whatever.
What?
They're actually, I think every time it's been shown so far, it's been running off PC.
Really? Huh. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, they usually develop games.
Well, okay, I get it.
Computers.
Okay,
I'm like, whoa.
But the arcade board it's running off of, too, I think, isn't it the Taito Type X, whatever? Because that's basically just a modified PC.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that there was like a huge conversation on VG Evo about that, and I'm like, yeah, I'm totally lost. I'm going to move on. I'm going to go over here and read one of these topics.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm trying to stay out of the Street Fighter 4 topics.
Well, there's some good discussion about that. Everybody go to VGEvo.com and put your thoughts in there. But they really...
Tell me how bad I'm overreacting.
They showed a couple... Well, they'd already announced most of the new characters, but they were talking about the newer ones again, like Rufus and El Fuerte.
Yeah.
And Famitsu revealed the final boss, Seth, who Big muscle bound guy wearing underwear.
He looks familiar. Wow. Yeah. And not just like Saturday Night familiar, like Street Fighter 3 familiar.
Yeah. But he's not Gil or Urien, so I don't know.
Not exactly, what's up with that. But I don't
but they did.
Was he actually the boss? I didn't
realize. Yeah, he's the final boss, supposedly.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. I did like what they came forward and talked about some of the moves that El Fuerte was going to have. I had to laugh pretty hard at the propeller tortilla attack.
That's hilarious.
And the quesadilla really bomb. That's awesome. Nice.
I mean, it's really corny and cheesy, but I don't know.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. I'm down for it. Okay. I hope he's fun.
Yeah. Famitsu did show that concept art that had Fei Long and Dan in it.
And Dan.
So maybe they'll show up in the game. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Did Dan look chubby to you? He looked kind of chubby.
Yeah, a little bit. But this is after Alpha, so maybe he let himself go.
Yeah, I actually kind of hope that he did, because that would just fit his character.
It would, totally.
So. That would be hilarious.
The end of his triple kick will now be him trying to nail you with his stomach or something. That'd be great.
Okay, have you guys...
His taunt is now him, like, huffing for breath. And
have you guys seen the trailer for that stupid movie, Kung Fu Panda?
Yes.
Like the part where the Jack Black voice, like Panda, hits the dude with his stomach and just goes, skadoosh.
Skadoosh.
That's like totally in my vernacular now. I can't stop saying it.
Skadoosh. Instead of guy, you.
Nice. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Let's see what we got next. That Motley Crue song that came out for Rock Band. You guys remember that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I never listened
Saints
to
of Los Angeles.
Oh, that's an excellent tune.
Oh, yeah. You know it. Well, they did reveal that apparently it had 47,000 downloads on Rock Band.
Wow.
However, it had only around 1,000 on iTunes.
10,000. Wasn't it like 10,000 or something?
Yeah, it's around 10,000. I'm sorry, around 10,000. My bad. On iTunes. So it actually sold almost 5 times more on Rock Band.
That's pretty fucking awesome. I'm giving Motley Crue the rock fist. The radio. That's really cool.
Meanwhile, on that other game with crappy downloadable content, which would be Guitar Hero 3, and their 3-song packs that cost way too much, Def Leppard released one, and they sold 7,000 of those, and the album sold 55,000. So I think that's more of a show of how much more people are going towards the Rock Band content over the Guitar Hero 3 content.
That's a huge difference.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the Motley Crue song only like $1, though?
No, it was $2.
It was a full $2? Okay.
I believe so, because I saw in the story they talk about how it was double the price. Oh, so really? Unless it was 50 cents on iTunes, but yeah, I think it was $2.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep, cool stuff. Uh-huh. Mark, go for it.
Is there another one? That's my list ends there.
This sounds familiar. Why have I heard this before? Oh, man. Yeah, this is a few weeks ago when I was on their show. They, they were doing news, and it's like I had the list in front of me. I'm waiting for Glenn to call me out and say, "All right, Chris, you take this." And I'm like, "All right, cool." And there's like 5 on the list, and he gets to number 6, and I'm like, "I don't have anything else." That was funny.
We're all professionals. Anyway. Can you tell?
That's right. You do have you do have 2 more. They're just in another email.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay. Don't worry about it.
Guitar Hero World Tour Wii to feature licensed DLC.
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty much the whole story.
That is pretty much the whole story. And you know, it's like the question is how.
Yeah.
I still don't understand how they're gonna do this, because you'll get what, like 3 or 4 songs. I mean, you're not gonna be able to store a lot.
Well, that's the way it works now, I suppose. They could do it that way. Or maybe Nintendo has something coming, which is highly doubtful, but I hope so.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why they don't just let you read directly off the SD card. That would make so much more sense to do that. But, you know, it's Nintendo. What are you going to do?
Right. That opens up stuff. That's a security hole right there.
I know, but it's still... So, I mean, they're not going to be able to do much with this. You know, I mean, that's what they came out and said about Rock Band. It's just, it's not, there's not enough storage space to put downloadable content for them.
Right.
So I think Guitar Hero is just trying to say, hey, look, we're doing it and Rock Band's not. I think that's kind of the idea of this.
They're going to come with, like, you know, Hannah Montana preloaded packs that you can pop into your SD slot.
Well, you know what I'm afraid they're going to do? I'm afraid they're going to pull one of those fast ones and include all of the tracks, like include a shit ton of downloadable tracks on the disc, and you download like a key that unlocks it
or something like that. Too.
And you know, I really think that's a bunch of bullshit that companies do that, but I wouldn't be surprised if Activision pulled that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we got one more.
Okay.
And I know how much you guys like MMOs.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I love the MMOs.
You know, especially you know, I know Jason's all over them. Jason plays. You play Final Fantasy XI all the time, right?
Oh fuck yeah! Actually am still paying for my account because I can't figure out how to turn it off.
Oh god.
Well, you know they have like 18 expansions for the game.
Yeah.
Well, now apparently you can get them all. Downloadable.
What?
Yeah, they're going away from the disc, and you can get everything downloadable.
From the internet?
That's right, from the interwebs.
I use my computer.
That's right, disc free. Final Fantasy XI and its expansions are now available disc free in downloadable form. Yeah.
Now
it's going to be through this direct to drive service.
Ooh!
Wow.
That's right. It's gonna be fantastic. So those of you who haven't jumped on the Final Fantasy XI bandwagon yet, because you know it's the best MMO out there, and you should totally play it, even though it's like 4 years old. Here you go.
So I don't know. There's got to be some people out there that are like, "Who gives a shit?"
Mark, we didn't hear you.
Fuck, Mark. You're
sorry.
Fired,
I messed it up. I'll go now.
Jason, we need to prep guests better.
Yeah, I guess so. I think he was probably like,
"We need to do.
Are they screaming now? Oh my god, what the hell did I get myself into?"
I'm like, "Oh shit, I'm supposed to be talking now."
That's all right. This is more fun.
Yeah, it is. Cool. That was my favorite one ever.
Yeah. It's funny because the last show we did when we had Crystal on, when Jason wasn't here, Jeff and I did it and Crystal didn't, and we were like, "Crystal, we didn't hear you. What happened?" You know, it was exactly the same situation. Anyway,
it's got to be shocking to people, you know.
We do it every show. I don't understand.
Okay. I wasn't paying attention.
Nice.
Just like my own show.
He was paying attention to Chuck's mom.
Oh, it's hard not to.
Oh man. Alright, what do you guys say we take a break for a minute? And
I gotta pee.
Me too.
Okay. Thanks for that. We'll come back and we'll talk about Phantasy Star, get some new releases, do some emails, and a new question of the week.
Cool.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right. Bye-bye. It's time to wake up.
Wednesday. Game Fans Interactive Distractions presents the 101. Creatures of Earth and Canada, we have come to your planet, not in peace, but rather to offer you a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Try our new Android podcast host, the Roboshino. He's completely not evil. We're so sure you'll like him, we'll include a full lifetime money-back guarantee. And if you act now, we'll also throw in a promise to not vaporize you. What do you say, huh?
And we are back.
And I am relieved.
That is good.
And I'm not Jeff.
The big reason that we wanted Mark to be on the show this week is because Jason and I knew that Mark was also going to be getting the Phantasy Star Collection, which only came out in Japan. And Mark is actually the person who helped me out tremendously to get my system set up to play imports. Because at the point that
this game was announced, I did not have that. So I, you know, Mark steered me in the right direction on what to get, where to get it, that kind of thing. So that was very helpful, and I thank you for that, Mark.
You're welcome.
But
I didn't need his help. Just saying.
I wanted it to be, you know, three people on the show that all had the collection and been playing the games for years and that kind of thing, and that's kind of where we're sitting right now. But before
it's also my
on,
fault that we haven't done this yet, since we were supposed to do it weeks ago, and
yeah,
I you know, had the whole moving thing going on, and I barely had a chance to play the game, but you know, whatever.
Well, yeah, truth be told, we've been meaning to do like a retrospective, like revisiting the classics kind of thing for quite a while, and this was one of the games that came straight out. So.
Right, and it's you know, as Mark said, as both of them said, we've been meaning it to do for a while. The game came out at the end of March, and we were trying to do like end of April or beginning of May, and just our schedules never seemed to be together. You know, something always would come up. Like, you know, the first week of May, I had something, and you know, then shortly after that, Mark was moving. So you know, it's not like he's going to come on the show when he's trying to, you know, get other things figured out. That's way too much stress. I don't want to put him through that. So
I was barely able to do
rulings. The grueling schedules of podcasters.
So all of you people out there that have been that commented on VG Evo that about why we're doing it, that's why we're doing it. We've wanted to do it for well over 2 months now, and this is the first time we've had a chance to get it. So we're doing it now, mm-hmm. whether you like it or not.
And we're fanboys, and we know it, and we don't care.
Plus, this is the 20th anniversary
Shut
of Fantasy
Star.
That's true.
Yeah.
And really, these are classic games that any self-respecting gamer should know a little something about, even if you've never played it.
That's right.
And if you like, if you even remotely like RPGs, at least listen to us talk about the damn things.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, I think you had something you wanted to start out with, right?
Yeah.
What?
With my very own Dear X.
Oh,
holy
very
shit.
Cool.
I like
this.
We
haven't had one of these in a while.
We're far more productive. We haven't done Dear X in I don't know how long. This is nice.
That's amazing considering how absolutely lazy I am.
So we shouldn't expect this from you every time.
No, I don't even do this for my own podcast.
Well, then we feel special. All right, you have the floor, sir. Go ahead.
Dear Sega, where the hell is my Phantasy Star 5? You had four fantastic 16-bit and 8-bit JRPGs in Phantasy Star 1 through 4. You took the franchise in a new direction with Phantasy Star Online, originally for the Dreamcast and GameCube, Xbox, and PC. And then you shat all on with Phantasy Star Universe. I mean, what the hell? You know, I understand wanting to do the MMO thing. It makes you money and whatnot. Then you tout this whole story mode for Phantasy Star Universe just to appease the fans of the old ones. Well, yeah, guess what? It doesn't even come close. Sure, the game is somewhat enjoyable, but that and Phantasy Star Online were both new universes just using the name. They didn't even tie into the old ones. We want a real traditional Phantasy Star 5. I mean, come on. People want it. At least I think people do. I do. I've seen a lot of people on the interwebs that do. So what gives? We know you can still pull it off. I mean, look at Skies of Arcadia. That was a fantastic RPG. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so long ago. And Reiko Kodama was the producer of Phantasy Star 1, 2, and 4. Also worked on that. Mm-hmm. She still works at Sega, and you got her working on, like, Mind Quiz or some shit. Where's our Phantasy Star 5? That's what I want to know. But I still love you, Sega. Sometimes.
Cool.
Well, that's kind of a downer note.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, I mean, I actually have that, like, on my notes. It's like, why don't we have a proper Phantasy Star 5? And it's funny because, you know, at the bottom of my notes, I also have Ryoko Kodama working on brain training bullshit games. It's like, why? I mean, I'm so glad you mentioned Skies of Arcadia, because people, if you have not played Skies of Arcadia, it is hands down my favorite RPG of all time.
I haven't finished
it.
No. You didn't finish it? Oh, dude, it's so great.
No, it's in my backlog. No, I absolutely love the game. Started on Dreamcast, got about 3/4 of the way in. got sidetracked by something else. Then the GameCube version came out with added content, so I'm like, oh, I'll just get that one. So I actually own both of them.
Yeah, I do too.
And just haven't played it. One of these days.
Yeah, I would really like to see more about the story, because, you know, it's the whole thing picks up from, you know, from Phantasy Star 1, and the story is super engaging from the very start. I mean, you start the game, and, okay, before we move on, I want to say that we're going to do our best to not spoil things, but come on, these games have been out for, you know, PS1 came out 20 years ago. You know?
I think we kind of, I think we're going to have to kind of have to spoil some stuff, but let's at least give a warning so people can jump ahead like 30 to 60 seconds and skip it.
Fair enough. Well, this isn't much of a spoiler because it happens at the very, very beginning of Phantasy Star 1, but, you know, Phantasy Star 1, you're introduced to the main character, which is Alice, a female, which, you know, this game came out in like 88, and it, that's not, that was very uncommon for the time. And
yeah, for a female lead. Yeah, definitely.
And it's, and you know, it's funny because I was thinking about this, and I, when we did our whole chicks and gaming thing, I totally forgot about Alice. I was very upset with myself. But yeah, it starts out with her brother getting killed. You know, and that's the,
which was pretty
the first thing
dark and mature for the time as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
And all we actually see it in the, you know, the comic, the anime style cutscenes, and he's all bloody and dying, and like, you know, giving his last words to her before he dies.
Yeah. And that's kind of what drew me into Phantasy Star so much was, you know, not only that, but, you know, the whole game in general. When I saw, when I started reading about it, I mean, I was like, what, 12, something like that. But it really drew me in, and the cutscenes was, I mean, this game came out the same time at, in Japan, it came out at the same time as Final Fantasy 1, and it came out, you know, about a year after Dragon Quest, and neither of them did anything even close to what this game did.
Right, and this was actually Sega's answer to Dragon Quest.
And what an answer it was, me. And even more interesting to me was the fact that it came out in 88 in the U.S., and Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest didn't come out until like 89.
Oh, do we mention this is on the Sega Master System?
Yes, this was on the Sega Master System. And it also carried a $70 price tag when it was released.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was pricey, you know, it's very pricey for an 8-bit game. And, you know,
well, people... for 88, when that was like, the NES was popular then, and, you know, the Master System was kind of hanging on, but it was still almost suicide for them to release a game this expensive.
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, it's just something, I mean, you just have to play it. If you're a fan of RPGs, you have to play it. You know, the story is very intriguing. The game itself is a testament to what programmers can do, if you ask me. Because, I mean, even standard overhead map screen, you know, it's fine. It's the same as you would expect from any other. But once you got into, like, battles and stuff, there was so much animation on everything. And a lot of people complained that it only showed one of the enemy that you were fighting, and it would have, like, you know, anywhere between one and, what is it, like, 8 hit point registers off to the side, and, you know, that's how it determined.
Yeah, where their names were just listed. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it's an 8-bit game. What do you want?
Yeah, but they're better animated than a lot of 16-bit RPGs did, including Phantasy Star 3.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lot of games, a lot of the role-playing games that were out didn't even have animation on the enemies or anything until the 16-bit era. And they had, like, backgrounds match the areas you were in the map. And I think probably my favorite part about the game and what really got me into it was the dungeons.
Really? The 3D scrolling effect, you know, the first-person view was cool. I don't know. That's not my thing, though. I would get just so lost in these damn things.
Yeah,
I mapped them myself when I had the game with graph paper.
Yeah, me too.
You kind of had to. Yeah.
You had to, though.
They were so complex, too. I mean, there was pit traps, there was invisible walls, and they were expansive, and it's just like, oh, my God.
Well, like, even going back and playing it with the Phantasy Star Collection, I had started playing PS1, and I went back to and started PS4 instead just because... I got to those dungeons and I'm like, oh my God, I remember getting horribly lost in these things. Like, I'm just not ready to face that again. Well, I'm also playing Etrian Odyssey on the DS, or at least trying to before the sequel comes out next month.
Okay.
But that's the same thing where you've got the 3D dungeons.
Oh, really? Yeah,
fantastic game, but like, I don't want to do it both at the same time.
Oh, yeah. You go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was the same way. I mapped them out too, because, I mean, and some of the dungeons, like the later dungeons, like when you got to, what was it, Bayamala, I think it was called? It's like a 13-floor dungeon or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
And to try and get through that in a first-person perspective without, like, a map, it's just, it's crazy.
Well, and the game wasn't exactly easy either, so when you're going through these huge dungeons and then hitting the pit traps and falling down floors and having to go all the way back and getting your ass kicked by these really tough enemies,
yeah.
it's tough. I don't know how they expected kids to get through that, but I suppose kids are a little more patient than we are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, once you got to the later dungeons when they started throwing, like, the big dark knights at you and the dragons and stuff, I mean, those things were killer. I mean, one hit would take off, like, a fourth of your hit points.
Yeah.
But one of the, okay, another thing that this game did that I really loved was it was a sci-fi theme, and it introduced multiple planets and vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, what was the first vehicle you got? You got the Land Rover first, right?
I think so.
On Motavia, when you go to, when you go to the desert planet, you're riding around this Land Rover going over, like, these huge antlion hills or whatever. And, let's see, then you get the Icebreaker in Desolus.
Mm-hmm.
And the hovercraft in Parham.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of any other game that was doing that.
Nothing at the time really was, and there still weren't a lot of other RPGs doing it even years later.
Yeah, even now, there's not a lot that do that at this point. Not at the level that they did.
No, well, most games have the obligatory airship now, but...
Yeah, well, that's because it just takes way too long to get around, and people don't feel like, you know, changing things up. But, you know... I guess the airship is traditional for Final Fantasy, so you know that's they right. stick with that for that reason, I believe. But it amazed me. I mean, going to the spaceport and jumping in the ship and actually seeing the ship take off and fly to the next planet, it's good stuff.
So you really felt like this was like an evolution in the genre, as it were, you know? Because I mean, you'd played Dragon Quest, you'd played, you know, Final Fantasy before this?
I actually did. I didn't actually get Phantasy Star until after I got a Genesis. And by that time, I had already played Dragon Warrior at the time, I guess, and Final Fantasy 1.
Right.
When I got my Genesis, I grabbed a power-based converter just to go and find this game.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I still had both of them upstairs.
That's pretty much the same deal for me. I had the NES. I played Dragon Warrior. Loved it. That was when I first really discovered RPGs as a genre. And the only other one I played on NES, I played Faxanadu, which was more of an action RPG.
Mm-hmm.
And was it Ultimate 3 that was on the NES? I forget.
One of the Ultimates. Famous,
yeah, so. One of them was on there. But then I sold my NES and bought the Genesis, and I bought it early on when they had the offer you got the free power-based converter.
Oh, nice.
Cool.
And like two or three Master System games. So Phantasy Star wasn't one of them, but... There was a toy outlet near me that sold like a year or two later sold like old Master System games for cheaper, and they had Phantasy Star, and of course I subscribed to Sega Visions, being a Sega fanboy at the time, so I knew all about Phantasy Star because I used to talk about it, and I picked it up. But for the life of me, I cannot remember if I actually got it before I got Phantasy Star 2 or after. I want to say before, because I remember being really excited for Phantasy Star 2.
Yeah.
That could have just been because it was like the first RPG on Genesis.
True.
Well, Phantasy Star, this is a good lead-in at time. I mean, Phantasy Star 2, which, Mark, you said is your favorite, right? And it takes place like 1,000 years after the first one, and they do such a good job with integrating the stories, because the first thing you see is Rolf, the main character of Phantasy Star 2, having a nightmare about the end of Phantasy Star 1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, here comes more of the storytelling with the anime cutscenes and all of this cool stuff. And it still was at a time when, you know, no one was really doing it.
I can safely say that was my initial draw to the game, is the whole sci-fi fantasy universe. You know, the picture that they painted was, you know, a lot more advanced than than, like, say, Final Fantasy, which was pretty basic to me at the time. And I played the hell out of that, went through it. But the first Fantasy that I played was 2, and I immediately fell in love with it. I thought, I'm a cool gamer now. You know, I'm into this cool shit.
I totally agree. And I love the anime look to everything, because the first one was sort of anime. It was like 8-bit, where it was kind of anime, but then they were just kind of doing what they could with the technology. Mm-hmm. But then Phantasy Star 2 really went on to that, I don't even know how to describe it, that really like iconic late 80s, early 90s anime, where they always
Everybody has crazy colored hair.
Right, crazy colored, like poofy hair. They aren't all in like the action poses or all emo like they are now. it was like a simpler time, and I just remember like seeing those screenshots in the magazines, and the same with a lot of the early TurboGrafx CD games, like the Ease games, where they had those anime cutscenes. I was just astounded by it, and I knew I had to have it.
Well, I was at the point where, you know, I got my Genesis almost immediately after it was released. I was working for my cousin, making, you know, $50 a weekend. I was 13 years old, and I saved up my money, and I went out and I got a Genesis, and I thought Ultra Beast was the greatest thing ever, so...
Hell yeah!
you know, I went and played PS1, and when I found out about PS2, I could not wait to get my hands on it. It was just... And I was not disappointed in the least. But you want to talk about a hard game.
Oh, God.
Phantasy Star 2 was a hard game. I mean, to the point where the game came with a 100-plus page hitbook.
Mm-hmm. It needed it.
It did.
Son of a bitch. So yeah, they did away with the 3D dungeons,
right.
But now you got top-down ones. Okay, that makes it a little easier in theory.
Yeah, you would think.
However, you know, these are like multi-level dungeons, and they're expansive, and they're very unforgiving.
Super huge, and you had the teleporters all over the place.
They changed up the battle scenes a little bit, for the better, where you actually saw your characters jump out and attack the enemies, which I thought was
awesome.
Unbelievably cool.
Very cool.
Fuck
at the time. The biggest difference, other than that, was that you now had multiple different kinds of enemies to fight, and you saw them, and they were pretty well animated, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the backgrounds were all this weird black grid.
Yeah, they took away the backgrounds based on where you were, and you just had this grid that you were fighting on. But yeah, I mean, it was still, you know, there was incredible animation on your characters when they attacked, on the enemies when they attacked. You could have, you know, two different types of enemies fighting at the same time. Tons of, I mean, everything. That was the one drawback of the battle, was the backgrounds. Everything else was a step forward, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah. I didn't even mind the backgrounds, really. I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did, too. It was very cool. And then they introduced, they also introduced a ton of characters that you could use. You know, there were, like, 8 different characters in Phantasy Star 2, and they all had, like, different things that they were really good at. Like, there was a biologist that had techniques that would hurt.
Oh, yeah. They were, like, completely different classes.
Exactly.
Where you're used to, you know, fighter, mage, and thief, and all this. And we get new shit like a biologist, wrecker, and awesome stuff.
Doctor. Yeah. And they did have a thief, but the thief actually served a different purpose, because you couldn't actually save your game anywhere. You had to go to a data memory storage place. But once you got the thief, which was like the last character that you actually met, I think, then you could go back to, like, I forgot what it's called, but...
The central control tower in the first town.
Yeah, you go back to the central control tower, and you just, if you go in enough, eventually you'll come out, and the thief will be gone, and she will have gone home, and all of a sudden you have a visiphone, and you could save anywhere.
And then you could do it anywhere.
And
speaking of home too, that was something that was interesting, is that your party members actually came to you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to like seek out anybody to join up. They would actually hear about your adventures and they'd be like, I think I'm gonna travel with this Rolf guy. I'm gonna go to his house and hang out.
Yeah.
So whenever you'd go home, there was usually someone there waiting for you. Which is kind of weird in the way that you could actually go through the game if you just forgot to go home or something without a bunch of party members.
That's true.
It kind of sucks.
That's true. Hey, since we're talking about the party members, I have a question for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When, you know, you both beat the game, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What was your party when you beat the game? Do you remember this question?
I haven't beat it recently. I don't know. I wish I could tell you.
I'm pretty sure mine was Rolf, Rudo, Anna, and Amy.
That's what mine was, too.
Yeah. A lot of people used Kane instead of Amy, I think.
Kane was the wrecker,
right? Wrecker. Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that, but Amy's healing spells were just...
Oh, right.
They were too good not to use, you know? So, I mean, that's what I ended up using her. And, you know, I just handed her... There was an item, like a snow crown or something like that, and when you used it, if you use it as an item, it actually casts, like, Gizan or something like that, that attacks all the enemies.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, she's fine. I'll just use her. I gave her two shields, and her defense was, like,
yeah,
ridiculously high, and I was like, okay, cool.
That's pretty much what I did, too.
Yeah.
But check this out. I mean, we talked about how hard this game is, mm-hmm. and my first playthrough, I got really far. I was on Dizo, and I cannot remember, like, where I was on it. Then one day, I started up the game, and, you know, it does, like, the save data check.
Right.
All of a sudden, yeah, it says there's a problem with the save data. Like, the save data is not usable.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know what happened. I never did anything bad to my Genesis or the cartridges. It just, the battery or the save just got corrupted somehow.
Huh.
So I was devastated. I actually called the Sega hint line and asked mm-hmm. them if there was any sort of code I could use to, like, get back close to where I was or level up my characters, because even then I could tell the game was a grind. I loved it, but, man, it was long and hard to get that far.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, the game was definitely a huge grind.
Yeah. Eventually I did it. I actually went all the way back and beat it.
Did they sympathize in any ways? Like, sorry, kid.
Yeah, the dude's just like, man, I'm really sorry, but there's nothing you can do.
Oh, that just sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, the grinding, though, in the game, it was at a time when that was more of a convention to the,
right,
to the actual, you know, the genre in general. I mean, you just knew that at one point or another, you're just going to have to run around and battle. I think this one did it far too much. But,
right,
I mean, but that's only me looking back now at it.
Well, mm-hmm. to be honest, there's not that much game there other than the grinding. I mean, there's a lot of dungeons and locations and a little bit of story, mm-hmm. but most of it's about the grind. That's where most of the time comes in.
True.
And getting lost, yeah, in the damn dungeons.
Yeah.
And honestly, that's why I have a hard time going back to that one. It still holds, you know, a very near and dear spot,
yeah,
in my heart, you know, as being my first Phantasy Star, and I just absolutely fell in love with it. But, you know, I tried going back to it with the Sega Ages collection that we just got, and I'm just like, wow, okay, all right, this is getting old kind of,
yeah,
quick.
But I'll tell you, we didn't really touch on the story a whole lot, so I'll tell you why it's still my favorite.
Which is very, yeah, it is an
excellent story. The story is fantastic in this one.
Yeah, but the thing with the story is there's so little of it in the actual game. I mean, if you typed it out, it would probably fit on, like, a sheet of paper. Mm. There's so little actual story dialogue and whatever. Most of it's,
yeah,
in the stuff that you pretty much extrapolate from it or read in the manual or whatever. Because you get all these characters, but you don't get a whole lot of backstory on them within the game. What you get is, like, what you read in the manual or the strategy guide that came with the game. And even in Japan, they had those text adventures. There was, like, one for each character that,
yeah,
took place prior to the game that, yeah, told more of their backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And we never got something...
those. No, we didn't, unfortunately. But there's something absolutely fascinating about it. But the story was great, because, like you said, you start as Rolf, the agent, who works for the government on the planet. 1,000 years after the original Phantasy Star, you're on the desert planet, which was terraformed.
Mm-hmm.
Something crazy is going on. There's monsters attacking. You're supposed to go to the biosystems lab and figure it out. And, you know, as you go, like you said, the characters come find you because they're hearing about your exploits. I mean, you see some crazy shit, like this crazy father committing suicide and blowing up his own daughter.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't mm-hmm. recognize her.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, the game treats these, it doesn't necessarily treat them lightly, but just the way it's translated for the time it was released and the way it was handled, it's just kind of there. But if you really start thinking about it, that's actually some pretty deep stuff that a lot of games today don't even cover.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And as the game keeps going, well, okay, here's a major spoiler. I'm not going to totally reveal it, but fast forward about 30 seconds. They killed off a major, major character.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah. Like 13 years before Final Fantasy VII killed off Aeris.
That's right.
Yeah. I think I cried harder at this one, too.
Yeah,
I did, too.
I definitely did. I was like, no, I really like her, you know?
I was broken up.
Yeah.
I was, too, and that was rough. That was really rough to see, because I'm like, no, you can just bring her back. No.
What happened to my resurrection spell? What's going on?
Yeah. Reverser? Resta? Come on. Something.
But then the game just spirals out of control because suddenly you're a wanted fugitive and one of the planets blows up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out your destiny and tying it back to the first one with the Dark Force appearing every 1,000 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the game just ends on a complete downer.
It does.
And like to this day, it sticks with me completely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And which is what made it really so good.
Yeah, this is one of the few games, especially at the time, when you know it's not a happy ending. You know,
yeah.
They kind of try to make it look like a happy ending, but it's not. And right. You know, you sit there and you think about it, and you realize after the ending is over, wait a second, and it's not a happy ending at all, and it's a very dark story, it keeps you intrigued, even though there's not a lot of it throughout. You still remember these things, and you still remember what's happening, and it still keeps you interested.
Right. Well, I'm going to talk specifically about this, so everybody who doesn't want to know, fast forward about 2 minutes. So, the ending is basically, you defeat Dark Force, but then you find out that the mother brain that's been controlling the planet that mm-hmm. you had to destroy that went rogue or whatever was actually controlled by a group, which turns out to be Earthmen, which to me was mind-boggling at the time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my god, they put reality in a video game. But then basically the Earthmen tell you to, you know, they destroyed their own planet, so they're taking over yours, and you can either join them or they'll kill you, and then your party basically says, well, screw you guys, and then you get this nice dramatic scene where each character gives a one-liner, and you go down fighting, and that's the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the end. You know you die.
Yeah. There's no way. So, I mean, the thing is, the worst part about that is, like, your four little characters, as you have at the time, walk into this room, and there's literally, like, 100 guys there.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, oh, fuck. You know?
Yeah. But even when you assume the, you know, sort of happy ending that they beat them and save the planet, well, as you find out in Phantasy Star 4, like, that threw the entire galaxy into 1,000 years of ruin because this biosystem and, like, master computer that were controlling their everyday lives was gone. They had to rely on themselves, which they hadn't had to do in, like, a millennia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So civilization almost dies thanks to your party, but you gave them back free will, which was the whole point.
Right.
Everything I learned about life, I learned from Phantasy Star.
Exactly. That's the way I live my life. But there were some issues with the way Sega translated it, too. And that actually goes back to the original Phantasy Star as well, where, like, in the original Phantasy Star, instead of having your monomates and monofluids and whatever, like the later games had, you had burgers and cola.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Which I thought was unusual.
Yeah, a little lame. But there's a character from 1 who appears in 2, but thanks to their crappy translation, the names were different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because Noah becomes Lutz.
Right.
In the original Japanese one, he was Lutz.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of obvious, but at the same time, like, when I was a kid, I was like, well, he looks like Noah. Maybe it is.
I wonder.
Yeah, I never pieced those together until I actually played through Part 2 again.
Yeah.
When I played after I got the collection, I played through Part 2 again. That's when I made that connection. But, yeah, they do such a good job of linking the stories. I mean, even with Phantasy Star 3, which in most Phantasy Stars fans' opinion is the low point of the series, even though it was still a good game. They even link to the story in that one, even though it's not till like the very end of the game.
Right.
True.
You know? And that one, you know, it came out like a year after Part 2, almost exactly. And you know, I was really excited about this because when I started seeing screenshots and stuff, I was like, oh, look, now there's 5 characters. And that excited me. And then I saw, oh, look, now there's backgrounds again on the battle sequences. And that was really exciting to me. And then I got the game and, yeah, the battle sequences have backgrounds and the graphics
are... Wow, that looks just like the screenshot.
Yeah.
Nothing's moving.
Oh. Hey, it used some great parallax to have
true.
4 different planes scrolling by in opposite directions.
Yeah, they put more work into the backgrounds than they did the actual animation of the enemies and stuff.
You know,
but, you know, that was the big thing about it for me. It was like, oh, the backgrounds and everything. And then they had these really detailed sprites but there was no animation on them at all. It was like the animation was like two frames, literally.
Literally, and, the guy waggling his finger.
Yeah, and it's like
the huge like Titan guy or whatever.
Yeah, these huge Titans that wiggle their finger to kill you. It's like, oh no.
Yeah. And you don't see your characters attacking the enemies anymore.
Yeah, it's back to just seeing like the weapon actually doing the attacking. And what really ticked me off is that this wasn't just a step back to what they did in Phantasy Star 1. It was a step back to below what they did in Phantasy Star 1. Because at least in Part 1, like when, not Rudo, Odin, when Odin was using a gun, you could actually tell the difference of the from the projectile of the gun.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? In Phantasy Star 3, it was just like machine gun bullets. And that was it. It's like you saw the bullet holes for a machine gun, and that's it. And every single gun that he had, that's what it looked like. And that's probably one of the things that really ticked me off the most. I know it sounds dumb, but it's...
When 75% of your game or more is spent in combat, you got to pay a little attention to it. Yeah. And they didn't, you know. That was extremely disappointing for me. The other thing that really disappointed me was the setting. You know, they went back to like an almost medieval... fantasy style setting, and that's not what I liked about Fantasy Star to begin with. I wanted the sci-fi stuff.
You know,
I did get a little bit about half, well, not halfway, but pretty early on, you get one of the android characters,
right?
Ren, which I really loved, and that kept me going throughout.
Well, I mean, obviously, the reason they went to the medieval setting was because, spoiler warning, there's the big twist that it is a sci-fi setting, and you're actually on a gigantic world ship that had escaped from the planet that exploded in Part 2.
Right.
Right.
And
but that comes in so late that it kind of sucks.
Right, you don't find that out until like the second generation of heroes. Oh, we didn't even touch on that yet, but we'll get
the big gimmick.
Yeah, we didn't touch on that gimmick yet, but
the saving grace, which is mainly on paper, it works on paper. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, it kind of works in the game.
It works in the game. I think it does because it's the cool thing about it is that the different characters. They actually feel different too when you're fighting with them because they're using, you know, some of them use different weapons, but most of them use like regular swords or whatever. But you know, some have techniques, some don't. You know, and the story differs between characters, and you visit different areas, you know, depending on what generation tree you go down. And you know, it was a cool idea, and I think they had something good going. But some of the execution could have been better, I think.
Well, there wasn't that much difference between every generation.
Yeah, there wasn't a huge difference. But what sucked about it to me is that I get invested in these characters. And then I've got to give them up after a certain amount of time.
Yeah, that's true, too.
You know, and I've got to learn someone completely new and start to care about them or whatever.
But you still get Ren through the whole thing.
Yeah, still get Ren.
And Mew.
And the other android. Mew. What's her name?
Mew.
Mew, yeah, that's it. But yeah,
I never got that attached to any of the other characters, but that's probably just because they
were only around for an hour.
But they didn't even flesh them out nearly as much as either of the other games did.
Yeah, not even close. And, you know, there are a ton of characters, if you think about it, because you get, you know, there's five characters in your party for every generation, and only two of those characters are repeated generation to generation. So every step on the tree, there's three new characters to learn. And you didn't really learn.
And you have a different dynamic throughout.
Yeah, and basically.
You gotta change it around.
Basically, you get a hero and you get, you know, chicks that you can decide which one you're gonna marry. And that's what you got.
Yeah.
You know?
Who are usually very hot.
Yes.
I would stress over those decisions too. I'm like,
I would too.
She looks like she would be better in bed. Honestly, that was a deciding factor. I'm like, okay, she looks like she could help me lead the nation. She looks regal and whatnot.
She looks regal.
I think I'm going to go with her.
Something else that we haven't mentioned yet is that Part 3 put in a technique balancer of some sort. You know?
Oh, yeah.
It was really weird, and I didn't use it a lot, but, you know...
Well, techniques were almost useless in the game, too.
What's that?
They were almost useless in the game, except for the healing ones.
Yeah, pretty much the entire game, I used just the healing ones, and that's it. I didn't use any attack techniques. I didn't use any of the support techniques. It was like, I used the healing spells. I used the resurrection spell, like, twice. and I used the anti, which, you know, gets rid of poison.
Poison, yeah.
And that was it. I mean, other than that, it wasn't, that none of them were really effective, but, you know, it gives you like this square, and you could move a point around on the square to make certain spells more powerful. And cool idea, but you made all the techniques useless. So,
yeah.
You know, it was a cool idea that didn't really get what it really wanted. Just like the generation bit. It was a cool idea, but it's not what, I don't think it's what they were intending it to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the heroes were a little bit different, but as you guys say, it probably wasn't enough to make any difference at all. It's the biggest difference was that you got to go to different areas with different characters, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Well, to sum it up, it's basically a game that had some awesome ideas that were way too ambitious.
Yeah,
true.
But they did have something that they brought back in. I think Skies of Arcadia did it. But like the battle music was situational. So if you started the battle and the guys were kicking your ass, it would be like this more downer music. Like, okay, you know, you're getting beat up. And then once you got to that point where the tide turned in the battle, the music would change. And, you know, be all happy and stuff like that. And I think Skies did that, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did.
Yeah.
What'd you guys actually think of the music?
In part three, I wasn't real thrilled about it. Yeah, part three, it wasn't that good.
I liked it for the most part, but the samples were way too short.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Repeating, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of what my gripe was. Is
right.
It was just kind of samples too
way
short.
Way too short and looping. The best one was the overworld music because it changed. Like, they added different instruments and extra more stuff to it.
That's right.
Depending on how many characters you had in your party.
That's right. When you got a new character, it would add a new instrument to the actual... It would hit another sound channel.
Yeah.
It's like, now we're going to use three instead of two.
But here's some interesting trivia for Phantasy Star 3. I was looking for this today, but I couldn't find it because I had read an old interview with the producer of Phantasy Star 3. The entire team was almost completely new compared to Phantasy Star 1 and 2. I think actually only the music composer was the same, if I remember right. Okay. Sega basically forced them to get it out within a year. And he completely blamed Sega Japan for this. He said they wanted him to get it out so fast. They had all these great ideas on paper. He said like the battle scenes ended up a disappointment, obviously. The towns weren't supposed to look so cookie cutter. They were going to flesh out the characters and the story more. But they just completely ran out of time, and nobody was experienced enough to do it better.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's really disappointing because, like, he, you know, totally knows that everybody hates the game in the Phantasy Star series, basically. I don't hate it, but it's definitely the worst of the four original games.
Agreed. I mean, I don't hate it either, but it's like, I keep wanting to push myself to go back and get the three other endings because I did beat it after getting the collection, but... Yeah. It's even though I have it saved at the point where it branches, it's like I can't push myself to go back and play it again, you know?
Yeah.
So I would rather go back and play part one or part four again.
In my opinion, it was almost a good RPG for the time when it was released, but not as good as the first two Phantasy Star games. But nowadays, it doesn't hold up well at all.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Phantasy Star 3, I have the Game Boy collection as well, the Game Boy Advance mm-hmm. version, and I actually tried to play Phantasy Star 3 on the GBA, and your character moves so slow, it's ridiculous. I mean, I don't think I could have possibly made it through that game without playing it on the collection, because I had the sucker on Boost 2, and I put it on very easy. I was getting quadruple experience points. I'm like, this is the only way I can suffer through this game.
Yep. mm-hmm.
But, oh man, they just move so slow. It's crazy. But let's get to the meat.
Saving grace. Yeah.
Phantasy Star 4, mm-hmm. which came out in like 93 in Japan. And they had to like fight to get it to come over here. And I'm so glad they did.
Yeah, even though it was like $100.
Yeah, even though it was late and it was $100, it is, in my opinion, and I don't know if you guys will agree with me or not, the best RPG of the 16-bit era and beyond and before.
It's definitely up there.
I'm a huge fan, so I agree. Mm-hmm. But Final Fantasy VI, like 3 on the SNES, yeah. was pretty close, but I like Phantasy Star 4 better. And I just keep thinking in the back of my mind, I've still never played Chrono Trigger, and everybody says how good that is.
Oh, Chrono Trigger is fantastic.
So that's the only one that I'm thinking, like, that could beat out Phantasy Star 4 as my favorite 16-bit RPG, but we'll see.
Well, I was very happy when I actually started this game up and actually felt like the game held up.
Oh, yeah.
To today's standards. I mean, it's nothing super special when you start looking at, like, the games that are out today, but it still looks great, you know? It still has those comic-like cutscenes that...
Oh, more of them. Oh, like, they're all
yeah,
over
even
the
more
place.
So.
Yes.
But now,
yeah, they're like,
it's...
Not exactly animated, but they've got, you know, panels, overlapping panels as yeah. the action or the dialogue's happening.
Yeah.
So, and they pop in at, like, every semi-major story scene, too.
Right.
So there's just an yeah. overabundance of them. It's great.
Yeah, the story itself and the way they actually talk about the story, the way they display the story to the player... is just fantastic. I it's like even mm-hmm. today you don't see stuff like that as much. I mean, it's now it's all, you know, video.
Oh yeah,
that just takes you out of it. And I mean, I guess this is the same idea, but this is the one that kind of first did it. I think
so too. And I've actually
in
blamed
a, in such
like,
a dynamic way. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I blame like the 32-bit RPGs like Final Fantasy VII and the later ones for actually killing my interest in RPGs because of the overwrought cinematics and storytelling, and it basically becomes you just watching the game. I know it's cliche to say that and whatever, but even though Phantasy Star IV presented the story similar to that, it presented enough, but like the emotional impact was there for you to extrapolate from it without it hammering you over the head like the later games do. And my cat will
yeah,
not shut
point.
Up.
I don't know what that was.
I'm like, is that your wife, dude? What the heck?
Yeah. but this game was total fan service, though. I mean,
oh yeah,
it had
well. Just in the fact that, just to find, like, it took so many great elements of the game. Like, I don't think it was, like, panty shot kind of fan service in that respect.
No, but it was just,
it took everything that we loved about the series.
Right, yeah. But that's kind of what I'm getting at. It took everything that we loved about the previous
the series,
games
yeah.
and dropped them all into one spectacular game. And, you
yeah.
know, they grabbed, there was a lot of reference to part one, there was a lot of reference to part two. And they even worked in some reference to part three. I mean,
yeah.
it wasn't a ton, but there was, you know, a little nod.
It was enough
here
to explain it, like how it happened.
What's that?
Which was really, it was enough to explain how it was possible for, you know, three's plot to even have happened.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I just loved the way they did it. They made the dungeons they made easier.
Yeah.
True.
So the dungeons were like, they were the challenge level of part three, I would say.
Yeah, which was easier than the first two.
Right, mm-hmm. by far. And then they took the fact that there's five characters from part three. They put the backgrounds, which was from part three. But then they also, you know, they show the characters like in part two. They had mm-hmm. the animation. They had better animation than part two, which was
yeah.
fantastic. And then... Oh, yeah. The battle system, the actual combat was so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the
macros, motherfucker. Macros.
Yeah, the macros, the spells, the spell combinations, mm-hmm. like the super attacks that have like four characters involved in them. I mean, everything was awesome.
Yeah, we should talk mm-hmm. about that because the macro system, you could basically automate the battle for yourself, just set it up if you wanted three of the characters to attack, one to use magic. And then one to do something else, like using the item. You could actually automate that with the macros. But
right.
then with that combination system, if you found out what the combinations were, if you had like three characters cast three different spells, like three specific spells, it would actually create like a super spell if you did them all in the right order.
Right.
It's just so weird. And there's a lot of combinations in the game too.
Yeah, there are. And there is actually, like if you do the side quest to actually go and get Medjid, then there is an attack called, like, Destruction or something like that, that is, you know, all four of the main group that goes in and just does one huge spell that just takes out anything. It does 1,000 damage to every enemy on the screen.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
It's basically got all the bells and whistles that everybody always touts the 16-bit Final Fantasies for having. Mm-hmm. And then they always just ignore this one because nobody played it.
Yeah, this is, and, you know, it's, and you said it on the forum, and I think you said it very well. This is the best RPG series that nobody played.
Right.
Because, I mean, I think the Phantasy Stars are above the Final Fantasies, in my opinion, with maybe the exception of Part 6.
Yeah.
Because Part 6 was really, really good. I still think Phantasy Star 4 is better, but...
I still haven't played that one, actually.
What's that?
Which one?
I haven't played that Final Fantasy 4.
Oh, no. I meant to say Phantasy Star 4.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I think Phantasy Star 4 is better than 6, and 6... better than Final Fantasy 6. And I think Final Fantasy 6 is the pinnacle of the series at this point.
Right, I do too.
Well, I'll disagree at beating out Final Fantasy 6, but...
Ooh.
4 is... I have to. But I'm not going to get into that subject right now. That's a whole other podcast.
No, to me, they're really close, but I do like... Yeah, they are. I like Fantasy Star for the nostalgia and for the sci-fi theme.
Yeah, the sci-fi theme is what gets me a lot, because I'm a sci-fi nut.
Oh, I am too. Mm-hmm.
And you still don't see that theme enough in RPGs nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know, Final Fantasy's incorporated some of it, but whatever. Let's see. What else can we say about 4?
What was I going to say? The side quests that they had in this game. You actually had hunting quests, which has been used... hadn't been used up to this point that I can remember, anyway. I could be wrong.
Remember, yeah.
But it has been used a lot since then.
Yeah. But that's kind of where the hunter theme from Phantasy Star Online came from, too.
Right, that's true.
Because your main characters were hunters, like bounty hunter, whatever kind of things.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. and the story behind 4 kind of gives a nod to Part 2 in a very depressing way.
Yeah, it does. Should we do the spoiler?
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
That's what one of the main characters that you get at the beginning of Part 4 ends up dying, just like it did in Part 2, and it's...
Still pissed.
It's trying, because it's a character you really, really like, you know, and it's like, no! So, again, with the dark theme, but, you know, it's still...
It's really well done. It didn't impact me as much as Phantasy Star 2's, though, because I didn't see that one coming. This one I saw coming a little bit.
Oh, did you really?
I didn't know, but, like, I don't know. For some reason, I wondered.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was interesting because you're thrust with these two like main characters at first, and you don't know like where your loyalty—not your loyalties, but you don't know who you should invest in, as it were.
Yeah.
It's like I liked both of the characters, but as soon as she died, it's like it thrust Chaz into, you know, the main starring roles,
right?
And it had him grow up and everything. It was neat,
and I think that was their intention. I think they pulled it off.
Yeah,
yeah, they pulled it off the way they wanted it to.
Yeah. And you know, for the era this was released in, the translation's actually pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. The localization for 4 is far better than any of its previous counterparts.
Yeah, I was playing it, I played it for like 4 hours last night, and I was actually pretty impressed, because I haven't actually played this one since it first came out on the Genesis. I'd restarted it on the Phantasy Star, or Sega Genesis Collection for PSP, but I never got that far. And, honestly, I think once I play through it again, this is probably going to overtake Phantasy Star 2 for me, because it does hold up so much better. Like, Phantasy Star 2's got the nostalgia for me. I'm a sucker for the, like, depressing story.
Yeah.
But this is a far better game.
Yeah. And I think they did a lot of things very well. They still integrated a lot of characters, but they made more of an investment for each of the characters. They fleshed out each of the characters better. And it's like when a new character would join, another character would just happen to have to leave. And, you know, it was kind of like, well, I don't want you to leave, but that's okay because now I know this new character and he's cool too.
Yeah.
So, and then you have, like, your four mains, which were... There was an android, the main character...
We had Ren again. Ren made
a
reappearance.
Yeah, it's a different Ren, but it's another nod to PS3, you know? When you get closer to the end, all the characters that you met before come back, and they're like, all right, now, you know, we're ready to fight along your side again. So you tell us, who do you want to bring with you, and then you get to choose a character to bring with you, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
And then,
those fan service nods are just fantastic. Cool.
And they integrate so well with the story, and I just can't say enough about this game.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple that almost get lost due to bad translation. Like I said, the translation's good, but there's a few names and things that got a little screwed up. Like, there's a statue in the beginning, and I forgot the name of the town where the college is, and it says, like, Dr. Lubitz or something, but it's supposed to be Dr. Lubino from the first game. I remember in AOL chat, when I was on America Online, they actually interviewed, or they, like, had a chat with the guys who wrote the strategy guide for the game.
Oh, neat.
And they had spilled the beans on some of this stuff. Like, there were a few nods in there that were actually, they confirmed that, yes, it was supposed to be referencing characters from the past games, but the translation got screwed up.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Where is Phantasy Star 5? I so want one.
Well, as much as I'm bitching about it, 4 really does wrap the story up.
Yeah, it does, and that's
the end of the millennium.
Yeah, because Dark Falls, or Dark Force, however you want to, or Dark Phallus.
Dark Phallus.
Which is what it was in Japan. which I'm very glad they didn't bring that over here. This game never would live it down. But, you fight him at the end, and, spoiler, you fight Dark Force again. But this part actually is kind of a spoiler.
What?
So, but you fight Dark Force at the end, and he says, as long as I'm here, I will return. You'll never get rid of me. And then you have to go into this black hole-like area and fight what do they call it?
The Profound Darkness.
Profound Darkness. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
There's the fourth hidden planet of the Algol star system.
And I love the way they did that.
Yeah.
That was so cool the way they did that. Everything they did in this game, every step I got further into the game, I enjoyed it more and more. And it actually got to the point where after I finished it, I was like, this is definitely one of my top 5 RPGs of all time. So
cool.
Again, can't say enough about it.
Yeah, I know I'm going to like it. It's going to replace Phantasy Star 2. I can already see it just playing it last night. Like, I got further in 4 hours last night playing it on very easy with Boost 2. Than I had in years trying to restart this game.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. Cool. Well, why don't we, do we have emails at all?
Jason, we do want to take some of those emails. I'm gonna start us off with one. I'm going to kind of stagger these out. I'm not going to blow my load like Jeff does. Well, speaking of Jeff, here's an email from him. What's up, guys? I just wanted to start off by saying you guys totally kick major ass. Although I have a feeling this show might feel a bit different without the totally crazy, awesome Canadian Jeff, but I digress. I'm sure this show will be spectacular nonetheless. Is that one word? No, it can't be. I'll start by saying I got into Phantasy Star very late. In fact, I didn't have any interest in RPGs until I played Final Fantasy VI, or III, or whatever the hell you want to call it. But since I did not own a Super Nintendo at the time, I was craving a JRPG, something fierce, and I read about Phantasy Star 4 in an issue of EGM. My excitement grew with each passing day, and when it was finally released, I had no money, so I rented it for like a week. I love the style of it and how you could chain attacks together and such. I fell in love with the characters and the story as a whole, but like most RPGs, I never beat it. Add yet another game to my backlog. Anywho, they never made another Phantasy Star proper and settled for PSO. I put settle in brackets only because with the announcement of PSO, a lot of Phantasy Star fans feared failure. But it turned out to be a crazy rad game that sucked many, many hours away from my college classes.
Me too.
I almost failed accounting because of it. What can I say? I needed the dual brand. Hell yeah.
That's right.
So I know you guys love both Phantasy Star proper and PSO. But if you had to choose one to have, a very well-done sequel to, PSU doesn't count, which would you choose? Take it easy and make sure to tell Jeff when he comes back. This is Jeff. I know it's Jeff. When he's back, that he's the coolest guy ever, and I can't wait for him to be on the show again. Your buddy, the other Canadian that is not named Jeff. Okay, thanks, bye.
Right. So the question was, do we want a sequel to Phantasy Star proper or a proper sequel to PSO?
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I want Phantasy Star 5.
Hell yeah.
I really do. I mean, I love PSO, and I sunk more hours into that game than anything I could even think of.
Right.
But I want a new Phantasy Star. I want a new Phantasy Star 5.
I do too. I've seen a couple of like fan works, like I think it was like PS Cave or something like that.
Yeah, they've got a couple fan games on there.
And this guy's been working on like a Phantasy Star 5 for shit years now.
Yeah,
years now. I don't think it's ever going to come out, but
no,
it would be kind of cool.
But man,
he released some animated intro, which was done kind of crappily, and you can tell he loves the game, but
his heart's in it. I don't
think it's ever going to get done. Yeah.
I would love a Phantasy Star 5. I also love PSO. I put hundreds and hundreds of hours into that game.
Oh, fuck.
But the only thing that would even make me balk at saying Phantasy Star 5 is just considering the Sega nowadays.
True, true.
They've still got Ryoko Kodama.
And they would have still to get her back up on it.
Yeah, if they could
she
do
would
that.
Have to be on the project.
You know what's funny? I had read an interview with her, and it was about... I think it was actually about the old Phantasy Stars, and they asked her opinion on PSO and PSU, and all she said was, "I do not comment on those games."
Oh, wow.
Wow.
She hasn't, she's had nothing to do with them. So take that for what you will. But I think there's a good chance they could pull off a decent game. I mean, Skies of Arcadia wasn't that long ago, and apparently that new Valkyrie of the Battlefield is awesome.
Oh, that looks fantastic. I can't wait for that to come out.
I'm a little excited
so,
for that one.
Sega doesn't totally suck ass now.
And there are rumors of a Skies 2, I think, right?
I think if they do that, the chances of a Phantasy Star, a real Phantasy Star 5, might be decent.
Really?
Well, I mean, if they could do a Skies 2 and it's good and does well, they might be more willing to explore some RPG back catalog stuff. My only fear is they'll give us a traditional Phantasy Star, but use the setting from Phantasy Star Universe. Which I would still play.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
Just make it 1,000 years after the last one. We'll be,
That's all we want. We want to know what happened. There's a lot of people out there who try to tie in PSO to the Phantasy Star series.
Well, there is kind of a couple nods here and there.
There's plenty of nods.
Yeah.
Right.
Like when you first get to Dark Force and there's a seal that says like Moot Dietz Palm or something. It sounds just like the planet names.
Yeah. And then you kind of learn, like, where the other races come from. Like, the races from PSO. You know, in Part 4, they basically took the ending of Part 4 and the story of Part 4 and said, all right, well, here are two races that resulted from that.
Yeah.
You know, the beasts don't really come in from PSU, but, you know,
well, that's
whatever.
Totally different anyway.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. PSO really captured the feel of the original Phantasy Stars, even though like they've come right out and said it's not related, even though people still try to tie it. But the artwork, theme, everything actually feels like the old ones do, which is the big part of the draw. And the game was fun as hell.
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, when I first read about this game, it had been... How long of a break was it between 4 and like PSO?
PSO
was Dreamcast, so we went through the entire Saturn library before it came out. And it didn't come out until, what was it, like 2000 or something like that?
Somewhere around there.
It was late in the game.
Yeah.
I read a blurb in a magazine that said that they were making a new Phantasy Star, and they said it was going to be online, and I wet myself. Luckily, I was in the bathroom at the time. So it was easy to clean up. But no, I had pictured like, you know, the traditional Phantasy Star with like multiple people being able to play in that kind of setting.
Yeah.
I found out that it wasn't, and I kind of backed away from it a little bit until one of my buddies got it, and I played it, you know, for hundreds of hours after that. Because I was hooked. Because it did capture that same... You know, the feel, the sci-fi stuff, you know, a lot of the nods to the old items, and it just, I don't know, it brought me back enough.
Me too.
But then you couple it with the fact that it really was online. It was a fun action oriented RPG, and you could actually play co-op with friends, which was really innovative at the time for consoles. You saw a lot on PCs, but with a console, it was so much more streamlined and easier for people to get into.
Yeah. And that was what really got me about PSO, what surprised me the most, I think, is that game came out for the Dreamcast and it looked good. I mean, the game looked great.
Yeah.
And then you went online and it ran so smoothly over a phone line.
Yeah.
And it baffles me sometimes when some of these games come out and they're online and they run like crap. It's like PSO did it over a phone line.
Yeah.
What is going on? I was so addicted to PSO that I was actually working for the video game store at the time that it came out. I would actually bring, because PSO was linked to the Dreamcast that you played it in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I would actually bring my Dreamcast to the store so I could play it at the store while I was working.
Oh, yeah.
I would play it offline at the store so I could level up my character and, try and get new red boxes, Because you knew that every time you saw a red box, it's like, nothing else matters. It's like, get the red box!
Yeah.
Screw you guys. All alliances are broken.
That's right.
I mean, there was, etiquette, but, yeah, those red boxes came out, and you're like, fuck all
screw
y'all.
It. That's right.
It's mine. Grab it and disconnect.
Steal the red box. End game.
I actually played more of the GameCube version than I did the Dreamcast one.
Oh, really?
Because when I got the Dreamcast one, the original one didn't support the broadband adapter, right. Which I had because I had broadband internet, so I didn't have dial-up. And there was kind of a trick where you could trick the original into working, but I could never get it to work that well. And then version 2 came out, and that was pay-to-play, wasn't it?
Version 2?
I don't remember.
Was it? I can't remember.
No, I don't think
I never got version 2. GameCube. I just played the original. But yeah, then it came out on GameCube it's actually right about the time I started dating the woman who became my wife. And I saw it at Best Buy one day. I had no idea it was even coming out. And I bought it. And it had like split screen multiplayer. And she got hooked on it too. So we just put hundreds of hours in just playing that way. And then I got online with it and played. And then one day, my character with hundreds and hundreds of hours.
Oh no.
The memory card died.
I've heard horror stories about that with the GameCube version, and it's painful to hear.
It is.
Well, even the Dreamcast as well, because there was so much cheating and hacking and stuff, and corrupt save files, and
John did it.
A lot of.
Did you know that John? One of our buddies, Mark John, he hacked a level 100 character.
Wow.
Because I remember at the time I was playing with Darth Shino, and I had just gotten Darth Shino up to level 100. And all of a sudden I see like two other characters with Darth in front of their name show up in my game, and they're like, and they're actually playing the whole like master apprentice thing. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding. And it turns out it was John and Drew, one of our other buddies. And they had hacked level 100 characters and just jumped on.
Cheaters.
Yeah.
Cheaters. I've cheated in my day, though. Mostly just for local stuff. And you know what? I needed a fucking spread needle, so.
That's right. I never found a spread needle. I was given mine. Someone actually found two. I was like, and they gave me one. I was like,
wow.
I love you.
I can't even quantify the sheer number of hours that I put into that game. I know that's the game that I've played the most in my life,
Even more than WoW?
Even more than WoW.
Wow.
Definitely. PSO was just a huge, it was a life-changing thing, because I had never really played anything online, A couple things like Diablo 2, but there was no sense of community, and PSO really did that. It brought people together, mainly because of the co-op aspect, and
yeah.
It was shortly after that I sought out like a guild or something or people to play with, and found a place called PSO Taku, signed up there, and my whole online life started with PSO.
That's right.
Nice.
To be perfectly honest.
Nostalgia.
Yeah.
We have any more emails?
Oh, yeah. We're doing a show.
Aren't
That's
we? Right.
I'm just like, show. Seriously, I'm all starry-eyed right now.
Is this going to end up being your longest show ever?
It may get close.
Nice. I hope people are actually interested, like all three people who actually wrote in emails.
Well, do we have any more to add on PSO, though?
I could go on forever.
Okay.
Well, we could just add that they brought it to PC twice. Mm-hmm. Like, around the Dreamcast time, I think they made a PC version. Yep. And later on, they created PSO Blue Burst, which is actually episode 4.
One.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Because there's episode, we forgot about episode 3 on GameCube, which was the card battle one.
Mm-hmm.
Which I liked. It was actually neat.
I did too. And I finally found that damn soundtrack today, and I bought it.
Oh, nice.
I'm so happy. I've been looking for that for 2 years. I can never find it. But
that one had a decent story and some great artwork for the cutscenes, too.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Yeah, a lot of people panned it because, you know, it's a card game. It's not a traditional PSO thing. But.
And they basically just grabbed the already 6-year-old Dreamcast graphics and transplanted them into new
cards
game.
And stuff. And I'm interested to know what Chris thought, though, because I know that he's a big like CCG fan.
I actually didn't play that one. I wasn't into CCGs at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I would think you would eat that up now.
It's very possible. I might actually go see if I can search out a copy of it just to try it out.
Mm-hmm. It's worth it. Yeah, actually, I saw one at a used place around here for pretty cheap, so if you can't find it, let me know and I can pick it up for you.
Cool.
I need to
complete my Phantasy Star collection.
Yeah. Unfortunately, all the versions of PSO are offline now. Sega America's pulled the plug on all of them.
Mm-hmm. Did they pull Blue Burst too?
Yep.
Yeah.
In Japan. It's still going in Japan, but they pulled America.
Ugh, mm-hmm. Painful.
But now, you can get it on hacked custom servers.
That's just what I was going to say. And Sega apparently has released some kind of tool that'll allow you to convert your characters or to like take your data off of their servers and bring it into the hacked servers. It's
nice.
Like, here's the data that we have. Take it. Do whatever you want with it. It's like, hey, all right, cool.
They've actually got the Blue Burst custom server running now, too, as well as ones for the GameCube and Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
I was disappointed to see that a Wii won't work online with it. You need a GameCube with the modem or broadband. Actually, you need the broadband adapter, I think. Mm-hmm. And I sold mine when I bought my Wii, unfortunately.
I ever got the broadband adapter.
That's what I had, and I had to. I actually need to replace my GameCube though because it died on me.
Oh,
I have it for the GameCube. I'm sorry. Never mind.
I've talked about it for a long time, but I really would like to get a little group going on one of the custom servers for PSO.
For what GameCube version?
Nah, for the PC.
For PC.
Oh, okay,
I want to play Blue Burst because I never got to play Blue Burst.
Yeah, I didn't either. So that's actually a good idea. Yes, let me know if you do that. I might join you on that.
I'll look into it. It'll probably be a while just because I have no time for it right now.
Yeah, really. Yeah. It's like as if the backlog box wasn't big enough, right?
We'll sink another 100 hours into PSO.
Shit. Well, moving right along, actually, let's close the door on the PSO stuff.
Aww.
Bye, PSO.
We love
so
you.
Sad. I've got another email here, though. This is from Industria. He says, what do you say? He says, hey guys, I guess this would be my first email into you guys. For shame.
Yay!
I had very much intended to send something in last week for your shooter question, but time constraints stopped me from doing so. I'll have to get into my opinions on that some other time. For now, Phantasy Star. I haven't had any experience with any Phantasy Star games aside from PSO and PSU, and my experiences with these were fantastic. I played Phantasy Star Online without ever being able to play it online for over 200 hours overall on the Dreamcast
version, and
episode 1 and 2 for the GameCube. I love the gameplay, the style, the design, everything about that game. But my rural connection always prevented me from getting online. Phantasy Star Universe was my first real experience with an MMO, and I loved it. To this day, with all the others I've tried, it's still my favorite. I put a good 60 or 70 hours into that game before I had to stop play again due to connection issues. The thing that is stopping me from signing back up for it is the fact that I don't know anyone, either locally or through VG Evo, that has the PC/PlayStation version of the game, as I have. I would absolutely love to get back into that game, and I'm really hoping that we can find a way to force Phantasy Star Portable to do just that. It'll be a definite buy for me regardless. And maybe that means that I'll be able to play with some of you jerks who own the 360 version of the game. Anyhow, love listening to the show. Keep it up. It's also interesting to note that he talked about PSO/PSU on his podcast, which he just released today. Just wanted to point that out.
Which
it's
we
like
will
internet
have to
connectivity.
For the record,
yeah,
Industria, I actually own all three versions of PSU because I am that much of a freak.
I own four, actually. So I'm much more of a freak. I've got the import PC. I've got one copy of the localized PC. I've got a PS2 version and the 360.
Jesus.
Just in case.
Here's the reasoning, Mark. When I started getting into the whole PSU bit, Crystal, my fiance, she had interest in it. And I'm like, all right, well, the PS2 and the PC version can talk to each other and they can play it with each other. So what I'll do is I'll buy both copies, and then when you're home, you can play on the PC and I'll play on the PS2.
That was my thing.
Actually, it was mine too, but I'll get to that when you're done.
And then when she wasn't home, I would just play on the PC. And the 360 version, I got much later for like $10.
Yeah.
Because I never actually went through the entire story mode. It wasn't until you guys started talking about it on VG Evo, and Jason and I started talking about it, that I actually went online with the 360 version.
That's almost my story to a T, because I was so hyped for this game. If you go to the Team Fremont Live forums and look up Phantasy Star Universe, you'll see the thread that I had started there about it. And I'm just going off about how good it's going to be, and yeah. Anyway, the PC version came out, bought it, thinking, my wife was a huge PSO fan, we used to play it all the time. You know, I've got the PC, I've got the PS2, I'll start playing it. If she likes it, I'll go out and buy the PS2 version so we can play together. But I ran into huge problems just trying to play it, and it ended up being that the GameGuard software in it had a serious issue with my firewall that would actually give me a BSOD.
We know somebody who had that problem.
Yeah. And Sega was less than helpful trying to get that to work. I actually figured it out with some guys on a forum on our own and helped them out with it. But I finally got it to work, and it was fun, but a letdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, like you, I saw the Xbox 3. I never went through the story mode. I quit playing before that. And I saw the 360 version, last year for like $10, picked it up. I'm like, hey, I can get some gamer score points going through and just playing the story mode. So I did. And then VG Evo started up and we all got talking and then played together.
Yeah. Cool. And we didn't play that much though. I think I got to play with Mark like twice.
Yeah.
And I actually played with Jared once. And I think the three of us played together once, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed because Chris told me about it. He's like, yeah, I'm playing with these guys from VG Evo. I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to start playing too. So I signed up and I got like the expansion and stuff. And I started playing for like a week. And then nobody's playing.
I bought the expansion. And then I realized I hadn't played it in like 2 months and I was still paying for it. So I stopped it.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably talk about what the game is. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like Sega's answer to, the bringing of the old with the storyline and everything combined with the PSO.
Right.
The first like initial improvements, you've got much more customization of your characters, which is fine. That's great. And also the combat's fleshed out quite a bit more. Like you can do side strafing when you're shooting guns, and you can do additional combos and pick up different techniques and combine them with your combos and really, really cool stuff. However, they kind of let us down because they introduced a crafting system. One of the big draws to the original PSO was the fat loot,
Yeah, it was.
It's a dungeon crawler, and you were always looking for those red boxes, right? And in those red boxes, you can get, super awesome, weapons and whatnot. Gone is that in PSU, fortunately. You can find rare crafting materials. Joy, Very rarely you'll get, like, a weapon drop, and they're usually far below what you're currently crafting at the time. Yeah.
And the worst part about the crafting system is that as you started crafting more powerful weapons, you were less likely to succeed in actually crafting that weapon. Not only that, but it would take up to like 8 hours to find out if you succeeded or not.
Right.
The synthesis and, actually took like it was like real time or something like that. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, that was a bad decision all around.
Another bad decision was the whole lobby system. And you had 4 planets to go to now.
Yeah.
Well, 3 planets and a satellite, but they all had their own lobby in these pretty big cities. Then the main one was huge with different floors, and the other 3 weren't that small either. But it was so hard, and with like different lobbies and different universes, it was so hard to even meet up with somebody.
To hook up with someone. Mm-hmm.
You had to know beforehand where you were going, and you know, if you didn't, then you're using their little in-game message system to try and figure out where everybody is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And when I played the PC version, I didn't even know anybody who had it, so I ended up soloing most of the time, which they made a lot harder in this one.
Yeah, definitely.
I still liked the game, though. I mean, a lot of people chat on it.
It's still playable.
I still loved it.
Yeah.
I can't say I love it, but I like it.
I still put hundreds of hours in it. You know, I still had... You know, on the PC, PS2, I had a character that was close to, like, I think he was, like, level 60-something. The 360, I actually got my character up to, like, level 20 or something like that.
Yeah, to get the new advanced class or whatever.
Yeah, I got my new advanced class and used it, like, 4 times.
Yeah, me too.
But,
Yeah, that was another interesting thing, is you could, you know, change or choose advanced classes. And cross-class and stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah, that was really cool.
You weren't stuck in
really
one role.
You could choose
different ones. You choose your race and then choose your class instead of PSO where it was set race-class combinations and you could never change it.
Right. So, I mean, that was really good, too. So I think, really, if they would have put rare drops in and gotten rid of the craft system altogether and brought back mags...
Oh, yeah.
Done. You would have had a PSO2. That's basically what it would have been. And it would have been perfect.
Well, the expansion tried to fix some of that.
Yeah, but, you know, they gave you these new little mag-like weapons, but they weren't mags, you know? They just weren't.
They weren't.
The new combat ability, the, like, just attack and just defend, where if you get the rhythm down right on your combos, you can do more damage. That helps some of the monotony with that.
Yeah, that actually helped a lot, because now it's not a button masher anymore. It actually feels more like PSO, you know, during battle.
Right. And they shoehorned in a bunch of the PSO elements, like costumes and cameos by some of the monsters and areas.
Yeah. And music and stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of the music, I liked the user shops. I thought that was kind of cool. You could set up your own shop where you could sell, you know, crafting materials that you found.
That's right.
Could decorate the place.
Yeah.
Like you could, you know, find, you know, like a Rappy statue or something like that and put it in your room. Change the wallpaper.
And then you can change the background music that you played in your room at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that was really cool. I thought the user shop idea was really, really cool. And actually, it was the way that when we were playing on 360, everything got boosted. It was like, it seemed like from the time that I was playing the PC PS2 version to the time I was playing the 360 version, I was getting... like 10 times the Meseta that I was getting.
Oh, what the hell?
It was like 3 times the experience or something like that. So the fact that I couldn't that I had to craft stuff or whatever, it didn't matter to me because I was getting so much money.
It.
I could just go to a user shop and buy some anyway.
Yeah.
That helped a
lot.
That
was pretty cool. Yeah, because when it first came out, I was like, I couldn't believe how it was even more of a grind. Because you got very little experience and money, which made soloing harder. And then you didn't actually get items, you just got the crafting materials.
Right.
So, I don't know. I still like the game, but I was so addicted to PSO, and I just didn't get the same level of addiction from PSU. Like, I liked playing it, but I had no problem just dropping it.
Yeah. I did it first. I got that addiction level at first, but it didn't last nearly as long as it did with PSO.
Yeah.
Right.
And
I blame it on the crafting and the fat loots.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't like the look of PSU as much either.
Oh, really?
It's still sci-fi, but now it's got more of the, I don't know, all the characters look too hip and young, and they don't actually wear armor or anything. It's like
they're wearing shorts,
stylish clothing. Yeah.
They're popping their collar and shit.
Yeah, it just doesn't do it as much for me. And it lacks a lot of the, like, subtle nods to the old Fantasy Star games.
True.
I gotcha. There's no seashell necklaces on them. I was kidding about that.
He mentioned Phantasy Star Portable.
Yeah.
But I think we have another don't we have another email on that?
I do indeed. It's from Aces High.
Let's do that and we'll talk about Phantasy Star Portable after that.
Okay. Aces High says, well, I'm here to say that I have no clue about this thing you call Phantasy Star, but all the Indus enthusiasm has intrigued me. If it's not too much of a problem, I would like to know any information you have about Phantasy Star Portable. That's from Aces High.
Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but Phantasy Star Portable is going to be basically PSU's offline mode, PSU's online story mode, and PSU's online story mode from the expansion. All in one disc.
Well, I thought that's what it was when it was first announced, and I think some sites reported it as that. But from what I'm reading now, I think it's actually its own story mode. So it like takes place between episodes 1 and 2 of Phantasy Star Universe.
Oh, really?
So it won't actually include the story modes from those, which is a little disappointing. Not that the story mode in Phantasy Star Universe was great. But I thought it would have been a little better because it looks like you're using your own character instead of having to play through with the predetermined
Ethan
character
or whatever. Yeah. Not Ethan. What the hell was his name?
No, it was Ethan.
Or could you name
it? It was Ethan. You're right.
Yeah.
But the as far as the multiplayer aspect of it, it's going to be ad hoc only.
Yeah.
But
just like Monster Hunter.
Right. I'll be damned if I don't play online. I'll see if I can. I'll get Excellent Kai up and running again.
Yeah.
And you know, this is Industria for your information because it sounded like you were going to try and go online with it. Excellent Kai makes it so that like these ad hoc games can also play online, and I have successfully done it for Monster Hunter, and it does work well enough.
Nice.
So hopefully we can do the same thing for PSP. It's PSP for PSP.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can get that going. But it does require that you get the little Wi-Fi adapter for the PSP.
Yeah.
So that's like a $30, $40 investment. But, you know, it would be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
The other important thing with PSP is that it looks like this is going to fix one of the major problems in that instead of item crafting drops, monsters are actually going to drop loot now.
Nice.
So, yes.
I mean, that right there makes it... Well, this isn't even Sega developing this either. I forgot who it is, but it's basically like... Yeah, somebody better than Sonic Team, which isn't saying a whole lot nowadays.
It's a shame that we say that, too, because, you know, I mean, back in the Dreamcast days, Sonic Team was the shit.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's so much not.
So sad.
It is.
Say it again, man. No crafting.
No crafting.
Say fat loot. Say fat loot is back.
Well, we hope so. This is all translated from like the Japanese website, so somebody could just be screwing with us.
When is it coming out?
July in Japan, I think.
In Japan?
Yeah, it hasn't been announced for any other territories, but honestly, I'd be surprised if it didn't come out.
Yeah, I would too. What I think is funny is that like the cover art for Phantasy Star Portable.
Yeah.
It actually
looks like Monster Hunter. Yeah,
looks more like Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
They're just trying to capitalize on it.
Oh, of course they are. It's Monster Hunter is a phenomenon over there.
Great game.
Crazy. Hmm. Wow.
But I'm kind of hoping the import has an English option. I doubt it just because the console and PC versions didn't.
Correct.
Yeah,
that was a bitch to play through.
I bet. Import.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, there was lots of guides downloaded. Yeah, I couldn't get through that one by myself. Oh, memories.
Yeah.
Yeah, what this else is should... the I think the main thing that we should try and get across is that, you know, if you're a fan of JRPGs, you will love the Phantasy Star series.
Yeah, I think
you
so.
You will. And, I highly suggest to any JRPG lover to, if they can, you know, if they can play imports, go out and get Phantasy Star Collection.
Yeah, we didn't really touch on that much yet. It's basically, you know, the Sega Ages line is the budget release where they remade or collected some old Sega, like, arcade and console games. And this is the basically definitive Phantasy Star collection with 1 through 4, plus the Game Gear spin-offs. There's two of them. And the 8 text adventures for the Sega download service for the Genesis in Japan. Mm-hmm. It actually has the English versions of 1 through 4 on it. It includes all of them and makes some great improvements, like you can up the speed in any of the games, like the walk speed, and there's a difficulty select, which essentially changes the monster encounter rate and the amount of experience and money you get. It's almost a new experience playing these games on easy or very easy now.
Yeah, because it's not, like, I actually played all the way through Phantasy Star 2, you know, when I that was the first one that I played after I got it, and it was just so much less monotonous going through it that way.
Yeah.
And it actually made the experience a lot better for me than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's great. So if you can play imports and want to play them, this is like the best way to play these games, hands down.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't go back to playing them the vanilla way anymore. Except maybe 4. 4 would still hold up okay.
Yeah. I think so.
Because 4 wasn't as much of a grind as some of the others.
Yeah.
I mean, it still was in some cases, but not nearly what 2 was.
No. Yeah. But I mean, it's still relevant even if you can't do imports, because Phantasy Star 2 and 3 are on the Virtual Console now.
Yeah,
true.
If you're a masochist, take 2 for a spin. But just be forewarned, it's incredibly hard and may not actually hold up that well nowadays. I'm sure now that Master System games are coming, Phantasy Star 1 will hit it eventually, and 4 for sure. 4 is a must buy on the Virtual Console.
I would say that to everybody, that the same thing. 4 is a must buy. And even if you don't want to get it on the Virtual Console, go out and find the Genesis collection for the PS2 or for the PSP, because that one has 2, 3, and 4 on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, even just playing that would be worth it.
Yeah, the only downside is there's some sound issues, especially in Phantasy Star 2.
Yeah.
But they're still great, and it's a cheap, easy way to play. And like you said, there's the Game Boy collection that you can try to track down that's got 1, 2, and 3, so then you can play 1.
But
there's that save glitch in it where it randomly crashes when trying to save.
Yeah, that happened to me kind of often. It just made it so that I changed the way I played, where I saved more often.
Right.
I heard that people had their data erased, but that never happened to me. When I would try to save, it would just crash, and then I would lose, you know, my progress from the last time I saved, and that was it.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is a problem with the GBA one.
Yeah, but there's still ways to play these games, and there's also the Saturn collection, which is essentially the same as the PS2, but only includes 1 through 4, and without all the improvements.
Right.
Both feature the Phantasy Star artwork and manual scans, but the Saturn one also had the TV commercials, which the PS2 one doesn't.
Oh, that's right.
Which I think you can YouTube them, and they're actually kind of funny. It's worth watching.
Yeah, and then it's probably also worth mentioning about the two Phantasy Star generations that came out for PS2 in Japan.
I own
which
those.
Were actually
Do you really?
Yeah, I know, and I'm so tempted to go out and get them.
Yeah,
but
they're, like,
they're basically remakes of Part 1 and Part 2 with remix music and updated graphics.
Gorgeous graphics.
Yeah, kinda.
Really? Kinda?
I've got them. I've only played a couple hours into each.
Yeah.
The graphics aren't bad, but it looks almost more like a fan remake than a real game, because I think they may even have less animation than the originals in spots.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
But, yeah, I mean, everything's... So. Yeah, the artwork's big, it's clean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not crazy about the way the characters were redesigned.
Yeah.
But they work. The remix music isn't as good as it could be. Like, obviously, these were part of the budget line.
Yeah, from Sega.
So I would, they're about on par with a 2D PS1 or Saturn era RPG in my opinion. But if you're a Phantasy Star fan, they are definitely worth it.
I think so.
And there's guides out there to play, because it helps if you know the games already. But they've made a couple significant changes that'll get you stuck, because they changed around a few things.
Oh, okay.
And they were going to remake Phantasy Star 4 as well, but I think it got canned.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I think they were going to release the first two over here in the States, stagger them out. Yeah. They were going to skip over 3 altogether. But then they held back and they said, no, let's just wait until the third one's done. Or the fourth one, rather. And then they came to it. So,
well, it's worth noting they were skipping 3 altogether.
Yeah.
That's any indication.
No. That should be an indication to all of you.
Well, didn't we have a question from last week, too? Sigma Omega?
Yes,
oh, yeah.
We asked which ones he should play.
But when we introduced the question of the week, Sigma Omega asked, what order should he play them in? So, who wants to go first?
Well, I gotta say, I know that you kept saying that, you know, they do a good job of integrating the storylines. I think it's kind of loose, though. Like, I think you can go forward in the series without really knowing too much of the backstory, you know, if you know the key points. I think if you can only play 1, play 4.
Yeah.
I would agree with that statement.
Go ahead and skip 3. Yeah.
That's my
I would at least try out the first 2.
Yeah.
I think if you play 4 first and like it, go back to 1 and 2 and just be forewarned that they're older and don't hold as well.
I would say if you have plans to actually play all 4, I would the tie-in to 3 isn't as much.
Yeah.
So it might be worth doing like 1, 2, 4 and then 3 if you feel like it.
Yeah.
But,
I would say if you've got the Phantasy Star Collection for PS2, it'd probably be worth doing 1, 2, 4, and then maybe 3, especially because you can make them easier and less of a grind.
Right.
But if you're playing the originals, it's a lot harder to recommend.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing you have to remember, though, is when you go back and play Phantasy Star 1, you have to remember that this game came out on an 8-bit system at the same time, around the same time, as Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you just got to think about it that way because it's miles and miles and miles beyond those two games.
Yeah, fantastic for an 8-bit game.
True that.
So, do we have any closing comments, or did we finish off the Phantasy Star horse?
I was going to mention the Phantasy Star Generations, but you got that. Glad about that. You know, I would love to get PSO PSU group together again. I know.
I think we have to play PSU on 360 again because Terry bought it.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, we did.
What I was saying. Yeah, Terry's
yeah, like 6 months late. Thanks, Terry.
Well, I think we can do that though. You know, that won't be too bad. And you can have what, 6 players at one time?
Yeah.
Right.
So we can do that. But I told him I wanted to wait till maybe fall because I've got way too many games I want to get through for the short term future.
Yeah, we'll go back to Phantasy Star Universe.
Maybe they'll give Industria time to get it as well.
That's going to
break
his heart
if we're playing on the 360. Yeah,
I would love to get a Blue Burst group going too.
Yeah, I'd have to find a copy of Blue Burst.
Well, it was free to download from Sega servers.
Yep.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, I think the site that runs the hack server has it up there.
Oh, beautiful. That'll work.
Yeah. Well, I will say two more things to prove just how big a Phantasy Star nerd I am. when Phantasy Star 2 came out, like I mentioned how I love the artwork so much. And this is what I was going to throw in there, but like my mind was going blank at the time. I'm a graphic designer, artist, whatever. But at the time, I think I was about 12 years old, and I actually took a like 11x17 sheet of paper and drew my own Phantasy Star 2 poster.
Wow.
My dad was a picture framer, so he actually framed it for me. I still have it.
Oh, nice.
I haven't. I should actually take a picture of it close up. It's not very good, but I was 12 or whatever.
You were 12, man.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
So I should put that up. Awesome. I did the same for Altered Beast, but I cannot find that one anymore. And the other thing is, I play tabletop RPGs like D&D with some of my friends sometimes. And I've been working off and on for like years on a Phantasy Star conversion.
Oh,
for that D&D. Would be awesome.
But I've just never finished it, never restarted it so many times. I really need to because I talked to the Team Fremont guys about actually running it as like a play-by-post on their forums.
Uh-huh.
But just never finished anything, so I may have to explore that. But like I said, I'm lazy and I lack ambition, so who knows what will happen.
That would be really cool. I would love to see that. I'm a big tabletop geek as well.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. We need to get going because we're at 2.5 hours right now.
Holy
whatever.
It's all my fault.
No, it's not. It's because it's because we're all very passionate about this series, and we want to get the word out.
That's right.
But yeah, I'm gonna be honest with you. I didn't even get around to getting new releases this week, so I don't have those at all.
That's right.
So,
yeah, nothing came out.
Shit. Is there anything coming out next week? I mean, anything interesting that you guys know of?
Lost Planet Colonies, or did that come out this week?
I don't know. No, I think it comes out next week. I think you're right about that.
Yeah, I gotta pick that up.
All right, so
I'm gonna move into emails. I'm taking
it, and we just go to emails.
Give me the reins. All right, this is from Ulrikin. That's what I'm gonna call him now. Ulrikin. if I'm recalling correctly, you had mentioned in an early podcast that you had bought something from PS2Cover.com. If this is correct, could you tell me how was their service, and did you receive everything in a timely manner? Thanks for taking the time to read this. Ulrikin, also known as Zeus. This is to you, Chris.
Yeah, this one was to me. I actually answered him already, but I did not order from PS2 Cover, only because of some of the reviews that I've seen. But Ulrikin did order his – he ordered a chipped PS2 from PS2 Cover, so we'll have to see how that works. I actually got my PS2 Cover from clearxbox.com, which is ironic, but yeah.
Irony.
Yeah.
Next email from R. Wiggum. R. Wiggum says, "Hey guys, I'm a recent immigrant from the land of Team Fremont, and I just started listening to the show. I gotta say, I'm surprised at how quickly I took it to the show. I planned on writing this email after I finished last week's show to congratulate you guys on another great episode, and I still am. But then you read this Nabo letter. I was shocked, staring blankly at my iPod screen, hoping for some kind of explanation or comfort to emanate from within. When none came and the shock eventually wore off, I was only left uttering, 'Did he just say the most innovative shooters of the last years, story-wise, were Haze and the fucking Darkness? The same year when we got Call of Duty 4 and the potential modern masterpiece Bioshock?' Now, don't get me wrong, from what I've played of it, The Darkness is a fine old game. However, it was very much the summer game. You know what I mean. Every summer, there's one game of mediocre to decent quality that is released. And because everything else that comes out that month ends with a Z, everyone jumps all over it. Prey comes to mind as well. And frankly, Haze doesn't look too different. Not a terrible game by any means, just not great. But really, to overlook such games is mind-blowing. For one, Bioshock garnered mass critical praise that made us sick of the words atmosphere, dystopia, and art deco for months. And frankly, it deserved it. Everyone who read any reviews by now knows that it's an atmospheric journey through an art deco dystopia. And I do applaud it for that. The art direction, gameplay, and story were all superb. But it also did something that nobody expected it to. It managed to bridge the gap between the coffee-drinking intellectual gamers and the Mountain Dew chugging fuck shit up crowd. For a game that seems so niche, it managed to become a bestseller almost instantly. Not only were the hardcore gamers getting into it, but many of the more casual gamers picked it up to find an experience much deeper than they expected. Everyone could get something out of it, even if that something was a soggy pair of drawers. And Call of Duty 4, personally, took me by surprise. I love Call of Duty 4, but was entirely skeptical of the hype behind the game. However, when I picked it up, I was shocked to find an engaging story running throughout. It wasn't anything new, frankly. It was very much the same faux geopolitical shit found in a lot of games. But Infinity Ward didn't seem to focus on telling an epic, unique story. Rather, they cared more about creating an emotional connection between the player and the story itself. So while the story isn't so deep in retrospect, it had the player engaged throughout. There were several moments throughout the game when I had to stop playing for a while to let an event sink in. There were plenty of scenes that stuck with me for days, even weeks after playing it. So when my Halo-centric friends called it a shitty squint fest that doesn't take any skill, it took everything in me to keep from going on a 10-minute tirade about how the experience is so much deeper than that and how I can't go back to Halo's floaty controls since playing it. Anyway, I apologize for the long letter. Either way, I'm loving the show. R. Wiggum.
Awesome. Thanks. He mentioned Call of Duty 4 and the emotional attachment.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree.
Yeah, you've mentioned this before.
It really does suck you in. Just some of the different parts, like even at the very beginning of the game, there's a scene where you're the president, I think, of this country, and he gets dragged into a car by these two guys that are trying to assassinate him, that kind of thing. And it's, it you know, and that's not even the one that pulls you in the most. You know, there's one scene in the game that really sucks you in hard, and I don't want to ruin it for anyone who might have not have played the game, but yeah, it's definitely there. I mean, and everyone knows that I don't play first person shooters that much, but Call of Duty 4 was a fantastic experience, and I think anybody who enjoys shooters at all should play it.
Cool, definitely. Mm-hmm. BioShock 2, that was probably the most engrossing FPS that I've played in recent memory.
I can't wait to get my hands on that. Whether it be 360 or PS3, I don't care. I just, at one point or another, I'm going to go out and buy it and play it.
Good, good. All right. Mm-hmm. I have one last email, kids, and this is from the, what's his name? Nabo. I've heard of him. All right. Nabo says, for the sake of inserting my opinion on a topic where I think few will feel the need to do so, I submit the following. By the way, he sent this in for the question of the week, which was Phantasy Star, but then he doesn't say anything about Phantasy Star. Anyway,
okay.
I'm going to be completely honest with you all here, and I hope you can answer my question this time around. I love the concept of RPG games. Focusing on a character and playing a story-driven game is always good. What I dislike is what RPGs have become. I can't stand grinding and fetch quests. Also, every time I have to run to a field 5 bazillion miles away, kill 3 fiery red chickens, and then run the 5 bazillion miles back. Do RPG games exist that don't do this? Something along the lines of, say, Pokemon back in the day. You know, the red, blue, and yellow versions. And Earthbound on the SNES. Lastly, why have RPG games become what I just mentioned? Or am I just a mistaken outsider? Signed lovingly, Nabokov Fan 87.
It's funny. I actually think they have become less of that compared to what they were in the past.
They were horrible grindfests. Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know,
probably not so many fetch quests back then, but
they still have the fetch quests. That's a problem.
They still have that.
Yeah.
But they got to do something so you pass the time. But you know what's really sad is I find I don't like the RPGs as much when they don't have the grind. As much as I bitch about it, I'm finding I enjoy games like Blue Dragon more than I do, I don't know, any of the more recent Final Fantasies.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why. I guess just harkens back to the old days or something, but
yeah, I guess
so. I think it really depends on the combat too. If the combat is compelling and you know you enjoy it, then grinding's not as bad. And you know, the perfect example that I always give for this is Rogue Galaxy. And Rogue Galaxy is a game where you don't have to grind much, but when you do, it's not that big of a deal because the combat is fun.
That's cool.
You know, it's innovative. Yeah, it's a great game. I think Bitch Big's playing it right now, and he's loving it.
Yeah.
Hmm. Nice.
You guys should be backlog buddies. Play it
together. I could be backlog buddies with everybody, considering the number of games in my backlog.
No kidding, man. Well, you just lost your chance for Lament of Innocence with me, so.
Ah, damn it. I told Terry I'd play God of War with him.
Really quick, I want to do this only because I just happened to look at what's coming out next week. Mm-hmm. I just want to mention 3 quick things. The God of War bundle, PSP, is coming out next week, the red one.
Ooh,
nice. So anybody who doesn't have a PSP, that's a good time to get it.
Or the Madden one coming out.
Yay. Actually kind of cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's as good a bundle if you're into Madden.
Yeah, if you're into Madden, the blue one is as good of a bundle. I mean, I'm not into Madden, but the blue color is pretty sweet. Lego Indiana Jones is also coming out next week.
Oh, sweet.
And so is Ninja Gaiden 2.
That's right.
Totally forgot about that. Not sure how I did.
Cool.
But I'm going to leave it at that. I don't want to go through all the new releases. It's nuts. All right, so Jason.
Yeah.
Shall we do the next week's question of the week?
Are we doing this again next week? What the hell should we do next week?
Hopefully it won't be 2.5 hours, but yeah.
No, I don't think so. Well, it's funny, actually, because what we discussed. What the hell were we doing? Oh, like the length of games, actually.
Yes.
We should probably do one on the length of podcasts.
It's been an ongoing battle. I've been trying to shorten my own podcast, and look what happened.
Yeah, this is our longest one ever. Unreal.
Yeah, I think so.
So, I mean, this is kind of another open-ended one, but try and be specific with it. Try and, you know, I mean, obviously going to get a lot of answers like, you know, when I was a kid, I had all the time in the world, and now that I'm an adult, games are too long. There's going to be a shit ton of that. So
you stole my answer.
I stole everyone's answer. That's my answer. That's Chris's answer. But I don't know. Maybe give it up for like per genre type thing.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Is what do you think is a good length for a game? That's my idea. And you know, if you have comments about other types of comments about the length of games nowadays, then throw those in there too. But you know, obviously a good length for a game is going to be different based on the genre of the game. So you know, let us know what you think.
I think I will.
Cool.
Me too.
All right, you can do that by emailing us, email at interactivedistractions.com. You can get us on our voicemail, 818-528-GAME. That's 818-528-4263. You can get us on Skype, Interactive Distractions, all one word.
All lowercase.
Google Talk, interactivedistractions@gmail.com. And don't forget about Warhawk Wednesdays, and don't forget about seeing us on VG Evo.
Right. That's VGEvo.com.
That's right. So before we wrap up and finally finish this show off, Mark, why don't you tell everybody one more time where they can find you?
Oh, you can find PS Nation Podcast at psnation.org. You can see us posted every week at ps3fanboy.com. We even have a nice little banner on there. And, of course, you can always find us in the forums at vgevo.com. I'm there as Savory Cade, and my partner in crime, Glenn, is there as Torgo.
Very good show. Very good guys. We love having you on, man. Aww. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Really, this was great. Torgo would kill me if I talked this long about Phantasy Star.
Hey. Well, it's funny because I wanted to mention to you that I know exactly how Glenn is going to introduce the fact that Jeff is on PS Nation this week. And it's going to be because Mark wanted to go and talk about Phantasy Star with the nerds or some shit like that. And it's like, you know it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen.
Oh, shit.
Like, of all people, Glenn is going to call us
nerds.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, do you guys have anything else to add before we wrap up?
No.
Go play Phantasy Star.
Yeah.
Yeah, go play Phantasy Star.
4.
Awesome.
And PSO.
Well, thank you to all listeners who have actually suffered through this long-ass show.
Gold stars all around.
That's right. Big gold stars. So we're going to wrap it up and join us again next week. But until then, my name is Chris Riccio, and for Jason A. Stryker.
That's me.
And Mark Sanger.
Hey.
Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good God. Long show.